Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Please welcome Mr. Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Good day, sir.
Morning.
It is morning, isn't it?
Morning.
Yeah, we were talking.
Morning. I'm out here in the hallway. I'm just in my old age getting used to general white friendliness in the morning, man.
Right.
Everyone at 6 in the morning, hi, yeah. Hi, and hi. And I'm like,
yeah, it's true.
It's an office dynamic.
Yeah.
Really?
Is it too much?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of talking, man. It's just like, I'm got nothing left, man. Nothing left.
Well, because when we get here first thing in the morning.
He's right.
The overnight guy is a really great guy. He's so nice. But the last
thing. It kills us, Patrice.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't talked to anyone in hours. And we don't want to talk to anybody because we're going to talk for 5 more hours.
You guys act as if he talks to you.
Yeah.
He talks to me.
Right. Yeah.
He talks to me. He follows me to the bathroom.
As he should. Why are you so surprised? As he should. Are you going to talk to Preston and Steve? This is what kills me. It's like he talks to me because he can't talk to Preston or Steve.
He actually runs, yeah.
He's probably closer to being able to talk to Steve than Preston because Preston makes you go, yeah, you know what? Let me not talk to Preston. He gives it, which is what I do.
Yeah. But Nick will just
put his misunderstood energy that I understand very well.
You just key right in on that.
But Nick just puts his headphones on. I mean, I don't even know if you're listening to anything. I don't even know if your headphones are even plugged into anything.
I put on music, but I can sympathize, Patrice, because you just need to sort of get up and going for a little bit. And,
yeah.
And if you're not there yet, there's nothing going to get you there, you know?
I wish people understood that. I wish people I think it's as rude to be ultra friendly.
To be fraudulent.
And force me right. To join your energy of fake happiness.
Yeah.
When I'm miserable at 6 in the morning. Hi, so what are you asking me? A goofy question at 6 in the morning?
Right. Yeah.
How am I doing? Awful.
Right, yeah.
And it's nothing personal. It's just don't talk to me.
That's the clearest statement of truth I've ever heard. Is yes, why are you trying to make me match your level?
And if you stink on the radio, you try to save every bit of energy. And
sure.
So if you stink on the radio, there's nothing there where it goes, you know, he stunk. And but it's because the PA took or the intern talked to him a little too long in the elevator about what I want. Just to be left alone. But I don't want you to hate me for the rest of my life. But I think it's an older man thing. I mean, I'm 42.
You've talked enough. Yeah.
That's young in white years, but 42 is
right.
It's up there, man.
I'm a 75-year-old. I'm feeling old. I'm feeling like my testosterone is dipping. Like, you know.
It does naturally.
A school bus and full of girls just sounds, you know.
Like work.
But my testosterone level's like. Bleh.
Bleh.
Because you think of the talking and the non-doing anythingness.
Right, yeah.
And I'm in old women now, like, you know, my age, because they don't play games.
Right.
They don't play around. You know, they just want you to find where the dead spot is and breathe life back into it. Is that a...
You're fine. That's fine.
Is that a... That's
good. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah. There's a great promo that's on the Comedy Central side of you sitting with a bunch of women at the table. It's for your, I think it's for your...
Oh, for the special, yeah.
Yeah, and you're saying there's not one working uterus at this table.
Yeah, just, really, I gotta put on my best shoes for you? I'm done with that. And I'm in the place now where I used to be known for just, I had girls around. And I love that. I went through, from 28, because in high school, I didn't figure out the whole thing that women...
actually like men for other things other than physicality.
Right.
So being a fat dude, my confidence wasn't real. I was like in high school, I'm like, you know.
Sure.
But in high school, it was fair because young girls are not into, they're into hot dudes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get older and they go, wait a minute, this is, I need a job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to find a guy that can give me good employment and a good future.
Right.
And they like us for personality and they're stupid like that. So it's like, it is what it is, man. If you're a fat girl and you're hilarious, good luck to you as far as I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, I'm shallow like that. So it's
you're
like,
being honest.
Women love you for other things. And once I learned that, I went on a rampage from about 28 to
yesterday.
when I start thinking about, and this is why I'm thinking about getting married, I started thinking about falling down the stairs and myself, if I was alone and I fell down the stairs.
You want a first alert.
Who would care?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
How long would it take for someone to check on me?
Yeah.
My woman within 2 days. And that's the lowest. My friends would think, you know, if I had a bunch of girls around, they would think, oh, he just doesn't call me back. It would all go into personal. My mother would probably be a week to 2 weeks.
Right.
Oh my God.
Because she knows that we talk, but it's not like if I didn't talk to her for a week, she would assume that I'm just on the road or whatever.
It makes
After
sense.
2 weeks. Still, I mean, my girl is the only one that would keep me. If I die by myself, I wouldn't stink if it was my girl.
Right.
That's it. That's the only one that really gives a damn right now. So
you have
I'm thinking about marrying her just because of that.
Are you more aware of your own mortality now? Do you start thinking?
Jesus Christ, man. I'm scared.
Are you?
Of
getting he just went
bit
through
by
it.
Bugs. I'm scared of stepping on a nail. I'm scared to fall.
Yeah.
I'm scared to. I'm scared of anything that will physically happen to me. That's why I don't do the meme mug to men anymore. Where it's like, what you looking at?
Right.
Like, everybody's like MMA is almost like basketball now. Everybody wants to choke you and put you in their guard, and you just go, dude, what am I gonna do except for shoot you if I had a gun and go to jail and then gotta fight a bunch of whole place full of MMA fighters who didn't do the right thing with it.
Right.
Wait, so you had a mean streak for a little while?
You had to.
Well, you were a football player too. You had to be.
It was mostly black. And I'm gonna be honest with you. It was being black and being in Boston.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the thing. I know white people get tired of racial discussions, but they have to understand there's reasons.
Yeah.
And not every black person is paranoid. We there's some reasons. And as you get older, you realize it's a farce. Racial divide is a farce.
Right.
So I go, damn. I learned a lot from white people.
Sure.
But if you grow up young and you go, hey, guys, I like white people, you know.
You're going to pay for it.
I got a lot. Larry Bird was my favorite basketball player.
Whoa.
So because I couldn't jump or run fast, so I emulated Larry Bird when I played. That was the only thing that enabled me to be competitive.
Did you have to keep that on the lowdown?
I didn't because I was in Boston. But racism's so in-depth and so prevalent. That in Boston, you couldn't like Larry Bird.
Huh.
He was a white guy.
Yeah,
was super white. Like, he wasn't, like, he wasn't cool dude white. Like,
he's Indiana white.
He's an Indiana white guy.
Yeah.
But he just, I loved him. But you get a lot of grief.
Sure. Like, so what about Robert Parrish?
Right, you go, oh, he's my favorite. Well, how could Robert Parrish be your favorite? He's the most unfun basketball player I've ever seen. But you, and then as you get older, you realize, oh my God, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've been wasting a lot of my time, and I'm trying to catch up on that time I wasted by not growing as much as I can grow mentally, you know?
I get the feeling you're the first to, like, you're the first to be your own critic. You beat yourself up easily.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I'm very fair.
Yeah.
I don't say a lot of things about myself that two things I'm pretty good at. I can read energy. Nine times out of ten, I'm good at reading someone's energy.
Right.
You know, what to do. Be self-aware and go how to not annoy a person.
Right, right.
I try. And the second thing I'm pretty good at is knowing myself and knowing not how to, you know, lie and put people in a position to call me a hypocrite.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I try to be honest. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you know, as I'm getting older and older and older, I try to teach people that. And you realize as I'm talking, here's what I hate about myself now. I'm becoming like my girl has a kid, my stepkid.
Yeah.
I'm becoming a dude that gives advice to young people that, and then you see they don't care.
Yeah.
And I live through that. And I said, I'm trying to help you so you don't live through a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And they look at you like you're stupid.
Yep. I mean, he does it. He's pressed it.
We're in the same place. I'm 43. We're in the same ballpark. A lot of these things with mortality. And also, I find myself starting to give out advice. And as I hear it coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, you don't give a damn.
And it makes you more of a curmudgeon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you go, you should be taking advice, and then they make you feel irrelevant by looking at you like you old.
Right.
And you go, and you can't hit kids anymore. You can't slap them in the face.
No.
And it's like, I don't want to be uncool to anybody.
Right.
So, you know, now I'm starting to do older dude stuff, man. I'm, you know, you get a girl at the club. Hey, you want to, you know, to give me the signals. You want to, you know, it's different. Again, the racial game. Black women don't go, well, hey, we going to the after party.
Right.
Black women go, what are you doing now?
Right.
But right. Here in Philly, you know, you get a white girl and she goes, she's at the after party. And you just go, you start thinking like, yeah, I see the signals. All I have to do is behave myself.
Right.
Drink whatever I'm going to drink. Pretend it's liquor. I don't drink liquor. So I'm like, give me a half cranberry, half water. Don't say nothing. I'm sipping. And I'm waiting. And it's not. Is it worth it? Is it really?
You are speaking so true because we have these singles mixers. And I've been married for a number of years now, and I'd be so lost. I'd be a dead man. If I had to be out in the dating scene now, it would be ridiculous.
And how old are you?
I'm 51.
You're 52. See, this is the issue with being 52, I would think.
Yeah.
No 52-year-old man wants a 52-year-old woman. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So if you was to date 52-year-old women, it would be an easier thing because 52-year-old women work from the bottom up just like 52-year-old men. They go, let's start with just sex.
Right.
And if it works out from there, it works out from there.
Right.
But I need sex.
Sure.
But you go 30 or 35, it's just... Because you're better than any 35-year-old woman that's dating.
Right.
You're Steve.
Right.
But, of precedent, Steve.
Patrice, is that going to be a little pompous if I happen to say that?
You should be pompous. People don't understand. You've earned pompousness. This is... Twitter has messed up the idea that celebrities aren't better than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, Patrice.
Celebrities are better than you. Get real with it. That's the whole point.
Wow.
That's why you go through this struggle. You're Preston and Steve, and your residual power rubs off on... What's your name?
Casey.
Nick.
And it rubs off. Oh, wow, you're that guy from Preston and Steve.
Why do you think I've been around for 13 years, man?
It's residual. Oh, my God, you're the guy that says things sometimes. Casey. And then you go, yeah. I run, you know, I make sure Preston got all his notes. And
I booked Patrice O'Neill on the show.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the thing is, I'm as a human being, we all human beings, but as far as you talking to me, it's a big deal. But Facebook got people going, hey, Chris Rock, what's happening? Sean Penn, I don't like what you did. Sean Penn, I don't like what you did. How dare you? But that's the thing. Your pompous is what you earned.
But you know, I have to say, and it's the truth, it's something that is genetically not within me. It's not within anybody on the show. because we know the funny thing is that we're in radio. You go out with the local TV weather guy and you disappear. I mean, we are low on the totem pole.
But,
and I sort of like that way. I do.
I'm
like,
not saying being a jerk though, Steve. But at the thing, own up to the work you put in.
Yes.
To be Steve, because why not call the show Dude and Some Guy?
I'll tell you what, I'm glad we had you back in the studio today. Because we had a phone.
Wait. We got to change the sign to Dude and Some Guy.
I mean, we had you on the phone last week, sometimes like double dipping doesn't make sense, but to have you on totally does. And because, you know, when I came home from work, my wife, she was just raving about our interview with you.
I told you about interview. It. Yeah. I told Patrice before the interview, Chase, then the last time we talked, you were talking about all of the sort of hand-wringing and all of the stuff.
The honesty,
with the Sheen roast.
Yeah.
And people don't hear entertainers talk like that a lot.
I'm here with a PR person. Yeah. They when you get to a certain level, they try to protect you from not being famous.
Yeah.
And I'm very real. I've been around for 20 years, man. I went from a young boy to I'm graying, you know what I mean? And you have to be real. And the thing, like, when I say something like, people who know me, they know what I mean when I say celebrities are better than you.
Right, yeah.
Because I've explained it many times.
Sure.
But if somebody that don't know me, like, what, who? And I'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
But I know where I am.
Right.
I've been doing it 20 years, and I'm not confused about where I am in the business. I have a decent living. But the thing is, you have to compare someone else's suffering. And this is another thing they make celebrities do. And athletes who make money. My suffering to me is my suffering.
Right.
If I get a 1 month prison sentence as opposed to your 50, I can't complain for the 30 days that I don't want to be in jail.
Right.
I complain about what makes me sad, and I'm happy about what makes me happy. I've made a choice. To try to be where I am. It's not guaranteed.
Right.
But like the Charlie Sheen roast, I did it. I'm not going to be self-righteous. I said no to a lot of those roasts.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, I don't like this whole thing where people don't really know each other and like each other. Like, I'm getting some people that go, oh, you were great. Then you get some people, you get, there's a few black people I'll bump into that goes, man, they were mean to you. Talked about diabetes and, man, you didn't do the right, man, you didn't step up. And I said, what do you even know?
Right.
What game I'm in?
Right, yeah.
What was I supposed to be? I can't be Martin Luther King during that time. They would edit me out.
Right, yeah.
I would be sitting there and I wouldn't be on the roast. And they'd be like, why was you just sitting there and they're calling you a diabetic?
Yeah, but the Mike Tyson's mom joke, that was funny. I thought that was hilarious.
Dude, they all were funny jokes, but the nature of it, okay, I think I've been here like 4 times. After 10, if I'm lucky to be on 10, then I could join the Preston and Steve roast.
Yeah.
And it'd be real.
Because you know us.
Because you can it's a friendly thing. It's an understanding. Well, I'm just going to look on Google and look at what somebody wrote about you on Google and attack you with it.
Right.
But why shouldn't I do it? I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of seeing Whitney Cummings, have 2 TV shows.
Because
of the roast. So I said, let me do the roast.
You know what I mean? And so she was writing for, a lot of people don't know that Whitney Cummings was writing the stuff that, say, Cloris Leachman would say at the roasts. You know, because those actors aren't coming up their own stuff.
But did that diabetic stuff bother you?
It didn't bother me at all because people who know me, and I roll with, like, the friends of mine in the business are gangster. And what I'm saying is they're really, you know, I was rolling with Nick, and we all kind of are doing our own thing. But we was rolling with Nick
DiPaolo, right?
Nick DiPaolo, Norton, Colin, Keith, Geraldo. We hung in rooms, man.
Yeah.
And I made a lot of enemies from Tough Crowd when we was on Tough Crowd.
Why so?
Because it pulled up a lot of skirts, man.
Really?
There's a lot of comics in this business who didn't get into it because they were funny. They just got into it.
Right.
This is the one business you can just, you meet somebody and they go, I'm a comic. How long have you been doing it? 30 days.
Right.
There's you can't say you're an astronaut until you earn it.
Right.
But a lot of people go, I'm just a comic. And a lot of people get into that. A lot of actors get into comedy because it's a way to do something to say, I act. And, but this is, we roll with some real
heavy
mean
hitters.
Dudes That's why the roast is. Yeah. When I'm losing a foot, I do losing feet jokes myself. It's like, right.
Well, we had Colin Quinn in here, and we were talking about that, and about the you had to be at a certain level to be in that tough crowd. Because
it was real. Yeah. That's the thing. It wasn't a fake mean. It was like we knew each other to say, shut up, stupid.
Right.
What are you talking about? Because we say it every – that's why it wasn't like a catchphrase we were making up.
Right.
We actually had some love for each other. So I would see a kid, Anthony Jeselnik. I see Captain Kirk. Kate Walsh that I don't even know. And you're just like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
And I went off book on that thing because I didn't write, there was jokes. I didn't write jokes for Steve-O or Kate Walsh.
Right.
Because I'm like, why?
To explain what you're saying is that you have to run your material by them ahead of time, but because you were a last-minute person, you told us before.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you didn't have to run it
by
them.
And they were nervous, but the guy who brought me out of it all was Captain Kirk.
Yeah?
Shatner.
Yeah.
Because he was so racist. But I mean that with love. He was so racist and so foul. It actually, I go, oh, I got to end. To go into.
Yeah.
And then we really bonded. He almost made me go into tears, him and his wife. His wife and him are, like, real loving to each other.
You're right.
And his wife broke down. I said, Captain Kirk says, why you so... He said, how'd you feel? I said, I don't know, man. I did it. I'm in a fog. I don't know. And I can't stop being miserable to him.
Really?
Yeah. I says, I don't know why I can't really just be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Skip around and one day just go in total happiness without breaking something down, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And his wife is a little tipsy and she's like, oh, okay, that's probably a little bit of testosterone, you know, lack of.
Right.
Because men love testosterone, so she could tell that I'm, like, she goes, yeah, you're probably a little bit, but you're young. And then Captain Kirk goes, but honey, He has diabetes. His body's not producing things.
Right, right.
So they having a cross a conversation based on the fact that I'm trying to, like, or let my girl go meet 20-year-old guys because I can only have sex once a week.
Right.
And I better not masturbate either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just so I can satisfy her. And it's like they went in and I just was like, oh, my God. And I thought it was just me. But you go, nature is pissing me off?
Sure.
And it made me sad.
Really?
Oh, just that nature.
Wouldn't that be sort of an epiphany that you at least you can attach?
It was
what's
a
happening?
Sad epiphany. Yeah. I mean, just if they tell you your kidneys fail, it's like, wow, that's an epiphany. I'm going to be without my kidneys.
Right, yeah.
I'm so sad.
I can see that. Yeah.
But I'm, you know, just the reality of it was beautiful. I think there was William Shatner was beautiful to me.
That's very cool.
It was not everybody else was bad, but he was beautiful, man. I like him. So, I mean, going back to the whole thing, what you were saying, the wife and being honest, I think people enjoy that.
Yeah.
But here's the Twitter game. They abuse it, man. They abuse you by the information you give them about yourself. Sometimes that's the thing that makes you not want to be honest. That's the thing that makes you want to, when people, you see bad interviews.
Yeah.
They don't want to share.
Well, let me tell you.
Because you come back and smack me in the face with my own honesty. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you what I do. I mean, I just consider, I know my life. My life is boring as crap. So I don't, when I tweet, all of it is made up. It's all jokes and stuff. It's not, I'm eating a bagel now. You know, right. I don't do that crap. To me,
you don't tweet, oh God, if I could kill and get away with it.
Right. Yeah. Right. The proverb, yeah. But none of that. It's all made up stuff. So it's all, you know, on that. But I agree with you 100%. Sometimes there's something to be said for revealing too much about yourself.
Because you get abused, man. You do get abused when you share with people and you hope. But here's the thing. For some reason, positive people that love you, they're not as intense as people who hate you. They come at you hard. And then, you know, they come at you with the meanness. Like, I can read through a million good things that somebody said, and then you get a fat douche. I hope you...
Well, you're freaking hilarious, dude. I don't want to wrap this up. I have to.
It's fine, man. I like to...
And by the way, you can follow him at Big Mama Prods on Twitter.
At Big Mama Prods. And the reason I do that is because if you type in Patrice O'Neill... It's just too many people that go, fat this,
yeah. Oh, really?
Die, you yeah. douche. So yeah. If you want to find me, you have to type that in.
Okay.
And when you hit me, know that you are blocked.
Okay.
As soon as you hit me, that's it's just.
It's your site. You
people,
can do what you want.
People control. But yeah. That Big Mama prize.
I have no problem with that. All right, gang. Patrice O'Neill.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, man. Thank
Great
you.
To see
Thank you.
You.
Thank you once again.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay where you are.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, will you shut the f*** up?
All right. Thank you. Let me see here. I need to read this email. It says, converted British fan.
Ah!
Preston, Steve, and gang, I was lucky to be in the Philly area for 18 months and have just returned home to the UK. Just wanted you to know how much I enjoyed your show while I was there and am delighted to be able to download and podcast and keep up to date with the studio antics. I fall behind with the podcast during the move, but have been filling up the MP3 player to take with me when I holiday in Italy next week. If you guys could shout to everyone I work with at Motorola in Horsham, I'd appreciate it, as I enormously enjoyed living and working in your country, and listening to Preston and Steve on the drive into work was a highlight. Gadzooks, guys. That is from Glenn in Basingstoke, Hampshire, England. So
Basingstoke, Hampshire.
We appreciate that, Glenn. Thank you very much. And anytime that you listen abroad, please make us aware of that.
A little cream cheese smear on your cheek there.
Thank you for telling.
Were you not going to say anything, Marissa?
I was waiting for a good moment
to tell
you.
Just don't want it to look like crusty semen on your face. There we go. There you go. All good.
Thank you.
Mm. Wait, hold on. Mm. Wait, that was Krusty Seaman.
Thank you. You know the famous vaudeville entertainer, Krusty Seaman?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
And now on our center stage, everybody, round of applause for Krusty Seaman.
Hey!
Waka, waka, waka.
Hey, I want to bring something up. Casey mentioned this the other day. This was an interesting concept. I had never heard of it before, but apparently a few people that he knows do this. Now, you know, if you're married, and I'm speaking to guys, and you like to go out on occasion and, you know, drink with the fellas, hang out, stay out a little bit late. Maybe you end up in the doghouse.
Yes.
If you come home too late, Casey has heard of this kind of agreement that mm-hmm. has been set up. And you found out about this through your neighbors?
Yeah, through my neighbors, just through, you know, a regular conversation. And this was simply known as something, it's called the promise. And I had no idea. He's like, you've never heard of the promise. And then sure enough, this guy's friend was like, you've never heard of the promise. So, you know, we had two guys.
Hey, gang, Casey's never heard of the promise.
I mean, that sort of felt like, all right, man, I'm in my 30s and I never heard of this thing called the promise.
Right.
But essentially what it is, it's a guaranteed way to have your husband or boyfriend, live-in boyfriend, come home in a reasonable hour. And essentially, like, before you leave, you know, suppose I'm going out with the guys, you know, my wife would say something like, all right, well, if you're home before 11:30, I promise you will have sex tonight.
Okay.
You know,
not
so,
with me.
Not with
but
me.
You will have sex.
No, but you'll, you know, so.
I don't like you and don't want to do that.
Well, and you know what? You would think that hearing that might be kind of an anomaly, that this, you know, one couple is just a system that they had come up with. But apparently there were a few people, and I had never heard of that before. But is it as detailed as are you promised, like, straight up, you know, just standard sex? Or are there little added bonuses, maybe?
Cleveland Steamer?
You know, something like that.
You know what? I don't know if there are any addendums to the promise, but I just took it as straight up sex.
So you come home at this time, yep. and you'll be rewarded with sex.
No matter how tired you are. Like, so if I came home, and let's say the promise was for 11:30, and I got home at 11:25, and my wife was in bed asleep, she can't say no. Because
right.
I'll tell you what, if I got home at 11:25 and the promise was broken and she said no, I'd be right out back the door, back at the bar.
Right.
Because that's, you know, you're breaking the promise. So
I would counter and say, I'm going to stay out later and I'm still going to have sex.
Yeah.
Whether you're asleep or not, right?
I'll see that and raise you.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is the Delco thing or if it's, you know, specifically an Upper Darby, you know, section of Delaware
regional?
County.
Regional
Delco thing.
So do you think it might be in the Rand McNally, if you look at it, that this is an area, like there are dry parts of town and there are parts of town that do this?
Well, I'm not sure because you guys have obviously never heard
I've
of
never
it.
Heard
you're
of it.
From
no.
the
never
area,
heard of it.
Nick.
No. I don't know how cool I'd be with that either, you know? I don't go
I
out.
Think it's, I think it's a pretty good idea for women who, you know, who want to make sure that that their man comes back.
I'll do that with my wife. I'll say, if she's out, I say, if you stay out an extra half hour, I'll pleasure myself.
Oh.
Deal. Yeah. I will pleasure myself if you stay out an extra half hour.
I guess it's good. I mean, I'm not at a point in my life where I need to be promising sex, I guess. But if you're not getting sex that often, it's a lure to come home on a Saturday night, right?
No, but if you and JT don't live together, so, you know, things tend to change once you guys end up shacking up. Because right now, you would have no problem staying in by yourself on a Tuesday night. But when you're living with somebody and you're home alone on a Tuesday night while your boy's out, like, you know, eating wings and drinking beer and stuff like that, then you kind of get a little bit lonely, I would imagine. And
that's possible. Yeah. Let me go to Lori, who does this apparently. Hey, Lori, how you doing?
Hi, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Lori?
I have to say, my husband and I, you know, we do it all the time. If he wants to, if I need milk or, you know, whatever.
You will bang him to go get milk?
No.
That is an interesting arrangement.
Something else. Not necessarily that.
Right.
But I'll reward him.
Really, for going to get milk, you'll offer up oral.
Well, absolutely.
So, okay, so
I love you. I want to marry you.
I just want to understand, for like little household chores, you will do this for him.
Absolutely. If I don't feel like doing something, you know, hey babe, if you do this or I'll do this for you.
Damn, that's a great idea.
Would that work for you, Preston?
Oh God, yes, would that work for me? Because I will. You know what? I hate doing menial chores around the house. I hate doing the changing the litter box and taking out the garbage and straightening up rooms, something like that. Honey, if you are listening right now, if you offer up that oral presentation for doing these tasks, we will have the cleanest house in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen.
But I'm going to float that out there.
If the kids are listening, an oral presentation is something Daddy has to do at work.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Now that I think about it, I think I may have used this before, but every time we've used it, JT is drunk.
Okay.
So he actually says a promise himself, and then he goes, but I'm drunk, so it's not going to work anyway,
I
whatever.
I promise you that if I come home tonight, you'll blow me. I promise you. That's my promise, and I'm sticking to it.
Wait, he uses the I'm drunk excuse?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
All the time.
I at least give it a try. I will go in wholeheartedly knowing that this is not going to be satisfying for myself, but let's just give it a shot. What the hell?
Oh, he won't. That's not a valid excuse, the drunk thing.
Well, we used it at the Borgata the other night because I just wanted to go home. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning after the Vi fight. And
no, that's
like,
when I use the it's too late excuse, yeah. Not the drunk thing.
He was just like, oh, well, you know, maybe if we leave, then you'll do this on the ride home. And then as he's like talking, he talked himself out of it. He's like, oh, but I'll be drunk, so it won't work anyway. It doesn't matter. We should just go spend more money.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, but getting back to the household chores, it's sort of an unwritten rule, and I've noticed that my wife is a little bit more giving. Suppose if I've spent like 3 or 4 hours out doing like yard work, if I've what I call a good husband day, where I've done stuff around the house, I've taken care of the kids for a little bit, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that kind of turns my wife on. Apparently.
Well, yeah, but you know, I don't want that to be currency, and you know, I don't want to.
I agree.
I do. I have that be bargained with.
I do.
Because I'm so damn good, she's going to enjoy it too.
No, I do. I hate doing that stuff. And a little bit of enticement, a little bit of reward.
Well, if Jeeves does it, will she do him?
No. He's no.
I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. No need for you to be mowing. I'll do it.
Let me go to Andrea real quick. Andrea, good morning.
Hey, you just saved my marriage.
I saved your marriage?
Yeah.
How so?
We got married, like, I don't know, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get my husband home early, and now I know how to do it.
There you go.
Wow.
Give it a try.
The
Thank you very much.
I mean, that's honestly, that's the, you know, I think how it was designed. It was like, because I know I like to close the bar out, you know, it's as simple as that. So if I'm out with my friends, I don't want to be the first one leaving. However, if there was a promise involved, I would Murph it like nobody's business.
What if you got the same promise from one of your friends at the bar?
Yes.
Hang out a little later, I'll do it.
That's right.
I'm not going to like it, but I'll do it.
If you stay.
Hey, in the dark, it all feels the same, right?
I don't know. I don't drink.
Yeah,
I guess going out, close down the bar, hanging out with my boys,
yeah. Right?
Is not part of the equation.
I'm going to go to Tim. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, Tim?
I think holding sex over somebody's head to come on home is wrong. You know?
I think you're right.
There should be something between you and your wife. You know, do it anyway.
You should do it the old-fashioned way, through roofies.
But listen, no, but Tim, if you're habitual, if you're doing it all the time, you're going out.
If you're an habitual person, I understand that. But, yeah. I mean, you know, some guys don't even get out, you know? So when
you
are coming out, you get promised to have sex. Jeez, thanks, thanks, hon.
Well, I'm with you in that regard because I honestly don't go out that much. We have three kids, and when I do go out, if I want to stay out, you know, I'm going to stay out.
Yeah.
But if you're going out three nights a week, four nights a week, something like that, and it's pissing her off, I could see her doing something like that.
This could be the ideal situation for any guy now because he gets to go out, hang out with his friends, and then come home and get sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's
perfect.
Exactly.
Well, just trade up to a hooker then.
But the more you go out, the more sex you get. Yeah, but so
with the promise, then you don't have to, you know, if you stick to the promise, then you don't have to come home with the story like, I would have been home an hour ago, but then Nick bought shots, and then this guy walked in. I hadn't seen him in like 10 years, so I had to talk to him for a while.
This guy asked Nick if he'd go down on him.
And Nick said, yeah.
And they said, yeah.
I said no.
And they both went to this underwater city.
Don't eat the hot dogs.
Wait, what was it?
Don't eat the hot dogs in the underwater city.
All right, let me go.
Expanding your stomach.
Let me go to Melissa.
They give you the bends.
Hey, Melissa, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
I think this promise stinks because basically, if my husband's going out late, I'd rather him not come home at all because he bothers me. He's all drunk, and it's very annoying.
Yeah, well, this is a surefire way for him to not come home drunk.
Well, he's going to come home drunk, and I women, I'm sure, are looking forward to that Kodiak bear mounting them with the beer breath.
Listen, yeah, I've
you
told
should
you.
Say you promised.
I told you my friends, a married couple that I know, the wife refers to that incident as Randy stopping by because he's just, you know.
she'll
turn to him and go, who are you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You're kidding, right? I remember my wife one time we were.
You were Randy.
I was Randy one night and she's. Unsuccessfully, we went at it twice. And then I'm like, all right, here we go.
All right, three times the charm.
Seriously looked at me and goes, you're kidding, right?
Nothing will increase your performance like your wife saying, really.
But I think this is like a perfect design for, like, suppose you were going to the baseball game with your friends, you know? So come home right after the baseball game because, you know, like, one event always turns into, all right, let's go to the bar after this. So this would eliminate the bar aspect after.
It would work for you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you worry that this is being held over your head? In other words, it's being traded out for services rendered as opposed to just.
I just don't know if this would even work on me in general because when I'm hanging out, I like to hang out. You know what I mean? Like, and I sort of get blinded by being social.
Steve, I've got multiple instant messages popping up about what if Claire offered if you stop playing your video games early using that.
No?
Because there's a USB port in the machine I could do. I could do that. It's not like I don't think this out.
Okay.
No, yeah, I would. I mean, she's awesome. So, that's definitely enticement.
Casey, I think that it wouldn't work for me for the same reason it would work with you. Because it's not like we're single guys who don't, you know, have sex, you know. And I love my wife, but I know what sex with my wife is.
Yeah. It's boring, you know? And it's tragic and it's sad and it shouldn't be.
I've seen you after party with, like, complete strangers. Like, you know, like the singles mixer. Like, you went to the bar afterwards with, like, five dudes that you had never met before.
And you know why? Because that's new to me.
Yeah.
I know what sex with my wife is. Yeah. That's old, man. I've done that.
It was really painful. But but I liked it.
And there were five of them, Steve.
Wow. Steve, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you use the USB port, do you actually pick the unit up? And
you have to, because I have it on a lower stand.
Okay, I was just curious.
Not unless I go backwards into it.
Let me...
It's the 360, and you have to do that.
Let me go to Matt. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Hey, I think we should make this part of the marriage vows.
The promise. You think that should be part of the vows?
You take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, and you uphold the promise.
Right. And you can see, and it actually sounds, because traditionally, I think when they talk about the promise in weddings, they're talking about the woman, keeping her virginity until the point of marriage. You can still use the same wording. It's just the promise is to pleasure him when he gets home.
Hold on. Chris has a question. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Great. What's up, man?
It's prostitution. Legal prostitution.
Yeah, Chris, I kind of agree with you. It is.
I can best believe it with me. Look, it's the same thing. Either you give her $5 or you do a job for her.
Dating is prostitution. Listen, you know, like when you're first going out on a couple of dates, you're not getting any unless you spend a couple of bucks on dinner.
Yeah, you always have to work through a pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Now, I really like the
yard work for sex.
I love that.
You really don't like yard work.
I don't go out that much, and that's the perfect thing. And it's like,
yeah, good job, Preston.
No, but it's impossible to get me to do all these little chores around the house. And
Preston, stay.
What the hell is that from?
It's from the dog show, America's Top Dog.
God.
Whatever the hell it is.
Well, greatest American dog.
Greatest American dog, hero dog Preston. That lived in Japan.
As a woman promising the sex for the yard work, then you do the yard work, and then you come in, and you're dirty, and you're sweaty, and then I don't want to have sex with you.
Okay, let me ask you.
And then by the time you shower,
Marissa, when
you're not that clean.
Marissa, she's fastidiously clean. When you dispense sex, have you dispensed sex as payment?
I don't think I ever have.
Okay.
Of
course you have.
Would it not sully the experience to some extent if you were simply delivering on an agreement by providing sex for that?
Yes, it would ruin sex.
I think so.
I
do the whole thing. I put on the Enya, burn the incense.
Yeah.
I get into something satiny.
Oh, my God.
It's awesome. It's so romantic.
What's wrong with that, though, Marissa? I don't see what.
And no, I'm probably wrong. I probably.
Because here's. And let me. I think I can answer. Because
we do not
it seems
have
like,
Enya.
Wow.
Come to me, lover. It seems, by my reckoning, it seems then like it's work for the woman. Like, it's, all right, I'll do this because you did that.
Yeah, I think, like...
But Lord knows I wouldn't want to have your filthiness on me otherwise.
But ultimately, you're not going to give your spouse or boyfriend sex if he was a creep to you all day or if he was just a lazy slug. Honestly, like...
Just about, what about organically out of genuine...
love?
And eroticism.
But you're not going to do that if the guy's being a jerk that day, or you know what I mean? It's a reward.
Don't think you'd offer up the promise if you weren't interested in doing it yourself.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Do you think so?
Yeah, well... Yeah, because then it's just that non-passionate, awful sex that you're just kind of...
That Nick has.
Close your eyes.
Nick's not disagreeing.
I'm already in enough trouble. Okay, so I'm going to stop talking at this point.
I think you're right, Preston.
Hey.
If the girl wants to do it, then she's going to offer it. If she doesn't want to do it, she just wants to be asleep when he gets home, then there's no offer on the table.
Hey. Non-passionate sex is all right with me. Yeah. I mean, so what? It's
sex
still
is sex.
Many times the other partner doesn't even need to be alive.
Or a human.
Yeah, there is a sort of a buffer time where things are still warm.
Dude, shut up.
Before it's gone into the refrigeration unit.
Oh, my God.
Before embalming takes place.
That'd be gross.
It's all good.
You're sick. I'm going to go to Jamie. Hi.
Stop. Turn off the engine.
Come to me, lover.
Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. What's going on, Jamie?
I just called because the promise wouldn't work for my boyfriend at all.
Why?
Well, because...
He's gay.
It's a problem.
No, it's just that, like, I'm not the kind of girlfriend that withholds sex from him.
Yeah. Okay.
So, if he's going out with his boys, he's going out to hang out with his boys, not come home early because he knows he can get it the next night.
All right, so he knows that with you that it's any time he's ready to go, you are. So this is not a bargaining tool.
It's not at
Jamie,
all.
Jamie, do you guys live together?
He doesn't go out very often, so.
So it's an open door policy, right?
Are both doors open?
That's what I was going to ask.
Are both doors open?
Come on in. Casey, what were you going to ask?
Do you guys live together?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. I think, you know, both of these guys that I was talking to, they're married, so I don't know if maybe if you add kids to the mix, you know, because sex isn't...
You shouldn't do that. It's illegal.
Now, wait a second. Here's an area which I'm accustomed to speaking.
No, but, like I said earlier, I think it's for the habitual goer-outer. The guy who, you know, just can't stop hanging with the guys.
And I question a dude like that. I question a dude that needs to spend that much time away from his wife or his family.
He really hates his wife and his family, basically.
But don't you think, to some extent, if you've got all the goddamn time?
Possibly. Possibly.
I like going out. But I enjoy it.
You know, you don't have a man cave, though.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But once again, I want to bring up the sex for chores issue, and hopefully my wife is listening. I'd like to give that one. I'd like to take that out for a whirl, hon. So just keep that in mind.
Well, you know what? If that doesn't work out, maybe you can strike a deal because your babysitter's intern, Devin. Maybe
that's
something
right.
Be done there.
Maybe we could do something there. We shall see. So anyhow, well, the promise, if you want to, give it a try. If it works out, let us know. Email us and tell us about that. We're going to take a break. Come back in a minute. Stay down.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Cage the Elephant.
Call me when you're ready to be real.
Like the dawn. Larkin Poe. Rival Sons.
We move through the world like shooting stars across the sky.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Our next guest is in our studio right now, and we're you know, trying to have some mood music that was that would be appropriate for him. And you know, somebody brought in "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," kind of an organ, you know, version of it. And I'm like, we need something a little bit more than that. So I thought something bigger for a man of this stature, both physically and his accomplishments in the game. So
right.
Something reverent, I think, works. You think so?
Fanfare for the common man?
I think that works. I mean, 2,632 consecutive games, considered one of the unbeatable records in Major League Baseball, 2 MVP awards, 17 All-Star games, the one, the only, Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah.
Good morning, Cal.
Thank you. I haven't felt that applause in a while. Makes me want to come back.
You know what, though? You've got, and when we found out that you were coming on the show and started to talk about it on the air, immediately all of the autograph hounds started emailing us. And can I come in? Can I bring it back? Can I bring a ball? Can I bring some tickets? And this and that. You must, how many times a day do you think you sign things?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of nice. I mean, you go into the business world, you go into your business meetings, your strategic planning sessions, all those things that sound mundane that are really cool to me now. But then you go back on the road, and all of a sudden all those same things start to happen. It's interesting. I guess I'll share this with you. I used to check into a hotel in another name.
Right.
And the reason I did was because people like to wake me up from the radio station and get your reactions.
Right.
And I didn't think of it. Now that I've been in the business world, I went into Chicago, checked in my normal name, and then sure enough, the whole thing started all over again.
Started getting the calls.
But because I had to promote this book so early in the morning, I got out about 5:45, and the wake-up call didn't come till like 7.
Yeah.
So I heard it on the voicemail message. They thought they were so funny and so cool, and they were saying, I told you we should have called it before 7. So I had a recorded message, but then I immediately changed my changed back to my alias.
There you go. You're going to have to.
Morning shows can be annoying.
Not us.
The God's honest truth.
Straight up.
Brother Billy used to, they used to love getting Billy because Billy would just start cussing, and they would start laughing, and they love that reaction. I would just hang up.
Well, listen, I want to talk to you about, you know, obviously all your accomplishments in baseball. We could go on and on about that, but you do have a book that, and that's the reason that you're out promoting this right now, doing this tour, Parenting Young Athletes the Ripken Way. I think this is a great idea for a book. I'm not familiar with anybody who has written a book about it because it can be... When you're talking about parents getting kind of obsessive about their kids in
sports,
it can get a little bit cutthroat and a little bit dangerous out there. Is what was the motivation to write the book, Cal?
Well, in my post-baseball career, or my post-playing career, I really want to promote the game and really do something at the grassroots level. I started with an instructional book. I want to put good basic instruction in the hands of coaches and parents and kids. I had the Encyclopedia of Baseball as a dad.
Yeah.
But most kids don't. So we wanted to put that out there. And in the chapter, that last book, I took a little shot at when to teach, how to teach, you know, how to develop your child. And the publisher, Gotham Books, said, I want to hear more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into a sports parenting book. At first, I said, I don't think I have enough. This is about all I got.
Yeah.
But when I started talking about it and going through it with my own kids, you know, I'm not judging parents. I'm not judging coaches and saying this is a negative sort of behavior. But I've noticed that there's pressure that builds so much, maybe because you emphasize winning too much. Maybe you try to make the next Alex Rodriguez if you have a kid. You put a little pressure on them. Maybe you live vicariously through your child and you want the best sports experience. But that pressure gets in the way of development, what sports really can teach you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I'd like to happen from the book is parents to read it, maybe look within themselves a little bit and maybe rethink how they approach pro sports. Because if you take the pressure out and return the game to the kids, teamwork, preparation, discipline, all those things that come out in sports that's going to serve you for the rest of your life can start to work. But pressure's just bad for a kid.
It kills it all. You know, I played years of Little League and stuff like that, and you know, a lot of parents live vicariously. They miss the boat on their go-around, and then they throw all of that at the kids. And I remember, I mean, that's why the Bad News Bears hit home for me, because there was a lot of browbeating for like 8 or 9 year olds on the field. And here's a game that's supposed to celebrate camaraderie and so on and so forth, and it's becoming the antithesis of that. So I assume that's what's addressed a lot in the book.
Oh, absolutely. We all know about the words that come out of parents' mouths. You know,
sometimes
they react and they get mad. And Joey, what are you doing? Why are you swinging at that pitch? Hang in there. You know, don't be afraid. Those things, you look at the parents and say, hey, that's kind of a negative sort of feeling. But I tell you what, one of the things that I've noticed being around youth sports is kids are in tune to their parents no matter what they do.
Right.
Like for example, the mother that really can't stand to watch her son pitch because she gets so anxious that she paces around, covers her eyes, and says, tell me what happened, tell me what happened. I look at the kid knows that they behave that way, and that sends off the vibes. Even though you think you're not doing it or whatever else, he then wants to please her so bad and wants to do it, they start to put pressure on. My advice to all parents and coaches, if you could get into a mindset of being a grandmother or a grandfather, having seen everything that's happened on the field, so if it happens in a positive way, let's not overreact on the positive, because I've seen it before. Let's not overreact on the negative. Let's just kind of act like it's normal. And if you can do that, then I think that the kids have a chance.
It's tough to do that. I was telling the story on the air the other day. I was at a miniature golf course, and my 5-year-old, on the last hole on 18, and that's when you win the free game, you know, made a hole-in-one. I swear to God, you thought we won the Super Bowl. I was jumping around, pointing to everybody. Look over here! Look what he did! Hole in one! And you know,
we got to get you an agent.
You know, sometimes it takes you over. You know,
well, sports certainly is an emotional experience for people that watch,
right,
especially for the ones that play. And parents really want the best for their kids. And I think in this day and age, we want it even more. We're trying too hard. We're putting more resources behind them. So I would just say let's just try to check our behavior. We're the ones that actually grown up a little bit. We're the ones that we should be able to control our behavior and let the kids play.
How did your kids deal? I mean, you know, it's a tough act to follow. You know,
yeah.
Did you try to encourage them to get into ballet dancing or luge perhaps, or, you know?
Well, one of the reasons I wrote the book is a lot of people think because Dad was in professional baseball, Brother Billy played 12 years, I played 21 years, that he made us into baseball players.
Right.
That he really stood out and worked at us, made us practice all the time. But the opposite was true. Dad really believed philosophically that we all as individuals need to search out what we love to do in life.
It's a smart move.
And he would support that.
Yeah.
And so that's really what I'm trying to say is, and my own kids, you know, I don't need to have Ryan, my little boy, be a baseball player, you know, for him to be fulfilled. I want him to be happy. I don't want Rachel doesn't need to discover sports to be happy, but if they do, then I can start to support them and help them. I have a different challenge than most. My boy, you know, has a last name that people recognize, mm-hmm. and their expectations on him is to be great every right. single time. Kids from other fields come over and go, "Which one's Cal's kid?"
right.
And when they find him and he strikes out or he pops the ball up, they go, "He's not that good." And Ryan knows about that. So I try to remove myself as best I can. I don't like to be on the field as a coach, but I like to be back far enough where I let him discover, you know, himself on the field.
Have you ever caught yourself slipping?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, no one's perfect,
right.
And I by no means am. I can sit back and be very patient in that regard because I don't really struggle with that. But sometimes I go, oh, or come on, or you want to help him, and you want to do it, and you want to teach.
His last name is Lipschitz, by the way.
you know. One of the cool things we did, though, is you know, most of the other kids put their last name on the jersey,
right?
You know, because that's all kind of cool for their attention.
Yeah.
I do it the opposite. We put Ryan's first name on his jersey.
Good idea.
So we give him a little sense of anonymity when I'm not there.
Right. What do you say to the kids who, without their parents, put the pressure on themselves? Because I know, like, my brother was a goalie, which is a very mentally...
baseball, by the way. Which is, no. He stood out like a sore thumb.
It was weird. No, but mentally, that's one of the toughest positions you can play. And when you lose a game, you put the pressure on yourself. And with your parents not there, you know, what do you say to those kids who are doing it without their parents?
Yeah, well, kids internalize, and they really want the best, but they recover really quickly.
Yeah.
We think that it stays with them a lot. The equivalent in baseball would be standing on a mound. You know, they're the center of the stage.
Right.
And what they do if they start walking people or giving up hits, they feel responsible for the whole loss. A goalie lets a ball go by or a puck go by at the wrong time, then you're really in trouble, and then you place the blame on them. You know, I say as a parent, let them feel it. You know, it's going to be temporary. Don't try to soothe them. Don't try to get in their minds or whatever else. That's when you're really going to get into trouble. Let them take care of it themselves. You know, I noticed because I couldn't help my boy in one of these moments because we all have different wills and desires to win. And I was terrible throwing fits, and my parents didn't really yell at me. But Ryan was throwing a fit, and I couldn't get him out of it. And in some senses, I felt I was a little embarrassed. And I wanted to go over there and say, come on, you know, let's go. This is just a game. But they don't understand it at that time.
No.
So out of frustration, it was a soccer game, I grabbed the ball and turned my back on him, and I punted the ball in the air. And it went up about 200 yards. But the really cool thing about it, when it came down, it got the attention of two other kids. They said, do that again. So I kicked it up in the air again. Then I had six kids around me. And then when I did it one more time, a pickup game of soccer broke out.
Nice.
And everybody forgot.
Everybody forgot
really
about it.
That's a valuable lesson, yeah.
I can clearly remember, though, in Little League, that, you know, that I'm right there, like 8 years old. And you know, because at that time, to have an outfield in Little League is almost useless because, you know, it's only the infield that the ball ends. I'm out there. I'm hey, I think that's a tiger swallowtail butterfly. The one and only, like, I had to get, like, you know, somebody had to call my cell phone to tell me a ball was making it out there, and I turned around, and I dropped it, I effed up the game, and I carry that forever, yeah. You know? I mean, is there a point where you need to say almost, maybe I need to take the kid out of the game, or just maybe look for another thing, or do you just hunker down and go through it?
Well, I think that you really should, sports can teach you so much, and you should take a more patient view.
Right.
If the philosophy around the league is not about winning, it's about development of the kids, then the pressure is automatically removed. But what you were feeling out there is that there was a sense of, I caused us to lose the game,
yeah.
And everybody doesn't like me anymore.
And that turned out to be true.
One of the things I think that as parents can tell their kids is we all develop at different levels. The star 8 and 9 year old in statistically might not even make the high school team.
Oh, yeah.
More than likely won't.
Yeah.
But someone that didn't start baseball till 13 or 14 wasn't considered that good, all of a sudden grows,
right.
Comes into his athleticism, and all of a sudden he's the one that goes off and plays pro ball.
So one of the things as a parent, though, is what you want to do is you want to protect your children from regret one day. And that where it comes in, if they feel like they want to quit and you kind of want to urge them to stay with it, maybe you're not a nutso, you know, sports head and you want to force your child into it, but you just want to say that, you know, one day you really may regret that you gave up on this. My parents tried to do that, but, I mean, they didn't overwhelm me with it, but I played as a younger kid, I was really good at playing football. I know
right.
It's hard to believe, but this was in, like, you know, sixth grade, something like that. But then when it transitioned into, like, junior high, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not progressing any further.
Yeah, something's wrong here.
I'm tired of this. I want to quit. And they were like, are you really sure you want to do that? And I said yes, and I ended up bailing. I don't regret that, but I think that part of a parent's fear is that someday a child might look back and go, I coulda, I shoulda, you know.
Yeah, it's a fine line from pushing your kid too hard and actually nudging them and directing them. Yeah. Now, if you do nudge them and direct them and expose them to things, I think sometimes you as a parent will have to say, okay, there's a minimum commitment that should be required. Okay, if we're going to say yes to this, we just can't come in and say it once and we'll leave. But those are teaching moments and learning moments. I have regret. You know, I quit a soccer team. I quit a basketball team.
Think what you could have been to soccer. Think about it. What did you do, pal? What were you thinking?
Winner.
And I think, it all went asunder after that.
I think the trauma of those decisions are really tough for kids to make. So yeah. If the parents can actually walk them through and give them all the reasons why they should stay or whether they won't, then maybe they make a better decision.
Right.
But it is a difficult decision, and a minimum commitment usually takes care of some of that, because then you can get over the hump.
You know, though, it is. It's good advice. My little brother was just telling me the other day, he's 16, he's a great football player, but he did baseball for a really long time. He told me one season he got one hit, and it was actually an error, so he never even all season.
But it's so powerful, it's true.
But he stuck with it all season, and my parents just gave him the choice. Look, you can play next year or you don't, you know, and now he just plays football.
It happens naturally, by the way. Competitive, the nature when you grow up the ladder, it's about merit, and it's all about making a team and those sorts of things. So it's going to happen naturally. So when it's still there for participation, it's good to kind of give it a try.
Right.
Well, talking about merit, I mean, you played in, 17 All-Star games, and then I think your last one was 2001. You hit a home run, and not to, you know, insult you, but it was in the twilight of your career. It was your last All-Star game.
That is insulting.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Way to go, buddy.
Well, there's a legitimate question.
Talk about
here.
Moments you regret in life. It'd be about 3 seconds ago.
Right, Nick. Here's one that I remember. Okay. So you hit a home run, and it always seemed to me that was your last game. You would announce that you were going to retire, that was a meatball. When you're running around first base, did that thought cross your mind?
No. Let me ask you this. When you define a meatball...
By the way, you can hit him.
Yeah. Say, you know, I live with that, too. You have to look at, is a meatball something that you put right on the tee at 50 miles an hour? Or is a 95-mile-an-hour pitch in the shadows a meatball?
I'm not saying I could hit it, Cal.
I could.
I'm pretty sure that you deserve everything that you ever attained. It just seemed to me that, it's Cal's last game. Let's give him a pitch that we know he's going to hit a home run. It'll make a good story.
Somebody strangle Nick.
Yeah.
No. But if you knew what pitch was coming, I'm trying to defend myself and work my way out of this.
No good.
By the way, he's not going to sign your rookie card now. There's no way, Nick.
Oh, yeah. And whatever happened to... Jeff Schneider and Bob Bonner on the 1982 rookie card. Look, I know that you have a brilliant career, and I'm a fan, so I'm not trying to insult you. But it just seemed to me like, what a great way to end your career and at the last All-Star game that you ever played in.
Well, it's very difficult to hit a home run by design in batting practice. If you watch the home run derbies. Maybe with the exception of Bobby Abreu, who hit about a million home runs. It's really hard to actually go out there and call yourself to hit a home run. It's even harder when you're actually in the game. You're really calming yourself. And it was a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Do you remember who it was off of?
No, and I'm sorry.
It was Chan Ho Park, and there was a communication issue. So I don't think he even realized it was my last game anyway.
Okay, there you go. And just to put into perspective, Nick sweats when he passes gas. Yeah. So that's his level of physical.
And when I ask really awkward questions to Hall of Fame baseball players.
Well, you got that one under your belt now.
Yeah. And I think that, and I played 19 All-Star games, not 17.
There you go.
Really?
Oh. Snap.
Can I hug you?
In some of those years, it was all about the popularity of the vote. It wasn't about who had the best first half of the season.
If you were on the ballot
right now,
let's
bring the Pope in here so you can ask him if he's Jewish. Aren't you really Jewish?
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? We got this at the 17, the stats from some stupid website.
We got the consecutive games right,
though. Probably my website.
It's actually a site called incorrectsportsfacts.com.
Yeah.
How amazing was it when you were leading up to, breaking the record and they had the numbers up on the warehouse and all that? That must have just been overwhelming.
Well, a lot of people ask me, what is my best moments in baseball? And I qualify that in two ways. We won the World Series in 83. I caught the last out, right here in Philadelphia.
Thanks.
And, that's awesome. That was a great memory.
It was really great memory.
Now it's extra special to you because you disappointed Nick.
And that feeling by far is the best feeling in sports because that's part of the kid's dream. You know?
Right.
You want to go on to win the World Series. And there's no more fulfilling feeling, and it's not even close. But the best human moment is that in
95 when I was pushed out to make the lap around the ballpark. And you started, the 50,000 people were pouring out their love in my direction. And then when you started shaking hands, it became one-on-one. And I started to recognize people that had been around the ballpark for 15, 16 years. And it became a much more personal moment. And dealing with the California Angels, the whole team and all that kind of stuff, that was a really nice moment.
And when you were approaching this Lou Gehrig's record, when, let's say you were five games away, would you walk down the stairs like 1 foot at a time, you know, everything to make sure you fall down the stairs, twist an ankle, do something stupid that would, obviously compromise
the record? Wear a hazmat suit.
Yeah, I mean, did you wear pads and helmets everywhere?
You know, it's kind of funny is they examined every part of your life during that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And People Magazine actually had a really serious interview with my wife. And she said, okay, do you let him cut up his own food? and don't you worry about him taking a shower, that he's going to slip in the shower and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But they were really serious with that sort of thought. And I never really gave it one thought. I never set out to break the record. I never played it easy. I never played it casual.
Right.
Matter of fact, I thought that if you let up a little bit, that was when you get hurt.
Yeah.
And whether you ran over a catcher, whether sometimes you were out there trying to defend your pitcher from a brawl, I didn't think about all those things where I'd miss a game. I played basketball really, really hard in the offseason because I loved the training aspect and loved how it made my legs feel. But Aaron Boone blows out a knee and then moves from the New York Yankees, and that's when Alex Rodriguez ends up coming in. Those realities of your workout schedule, they're risks that you take all the time.
Yeah.
It just seems to me, in my own mind, the better conditioned you are, the stronger you are, then the more insulated you are against injury. So I never took it easy.
I had a couple calls up here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, just a quick question. Talking about the players interact with the fans and how you've been with your fans throughout the years. You know, we had locally just recently a thing with Allen Iverson on the Sixers not showing up for Fan Appreciation Night. Mm-hmm. Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Do you see a room for an improvement? Well, in the interaction?
You know, what I used to say to younger players at the end of my career was, give it a try.
Yeah.
Because until you see a kid's face light up and you see a meaning of the power, just sign your
right.
name. And I was a little bit shy in regards to going into a room and kind of introducing myself. The autograph used to always be a nice icebreaker. And I always thought that the game is a great game, and when you're down there competing against the other team, you're really focusing on what you do. But without the excitement of people that care about the game, then you know,
that's it.
It wouldn't be anything. So
right.
I used to use the autograph as a bridge to kind of bring the fan down to the field.
One more quick question, and then you got to get going. But I had a caller up that wanted to know if you were entertaining the idea of purchasing the Orioles. Is that something that's being rumored about these days?
I did pretty well, but my pockets aren't that deep. I mean, I'd love to have an opportunity to be part of an ownership group from the baseball side. And if the owner of the Orioles, Mr. Angelos, if he does sell, you know, I'd like to position myself to impact on the Orioles in the right way.
Yeah. Well, our good friend Brett Hamilton is here. He used to work with us at another radio station. And we in our old studios on Brett had his own little file cabinet. And on it, I remember, was a picture of you with a little bubble that said, Cal says keep out. Or something like that, wasn't it, Brett?
I don't remember what it was.
Something like Cal says, stay away.
But I was there I had season tickets with my family all the way until they moved out of town, but I was there for the night you tied the record, the night you broke the record. Two people I wanted to meet with all the bands my entire life that I've interviewed was Paul McCartney and you. So I had a chance to hang out here and be a geek today. Now, I just wanted, my quick question was, how do you go to the store? How do you go to the mall? I grew up in Owings Mills, right down the street from you, actually, and my sister went to school with your daughter and stuff like that, and I know that was kind of hands-off, but we would see you out and stuff like that, and it just seemed like you couldn't go to Wendy's. You couldn't go pick up your dry cleaning. Is it to the point now where you can go anywhere?
No. I mean, fortunately enough, my Q rating is pretty good most everywhere.
I'd say so.
Yeah. But when you live in the area, it's my hometown. You get going to the same places that people get used to. It's no big deal anymore. I don't really think that I live my life any differently. Sometimes if you go to the movies and you know, you can anticipate certain things happening. So if you're going to go to the movies, it's better for you to wait till the previews are over, the lights are down, come
and dunk in.
Sneak and dunk in. And then be the first one out again.
Well, so now you're known as the guy that Nick McElwain insulted. So,
you have a new moniker. By the way, if you want to meet Cal today, he's going to be at Barnes & Noble on Walnut, of course, and doing the book signing. That'll be from 12:30 to 2:30. So come and pick up the book. It's called Parenting Young Athletes the Ripken Way, and you'll do some autographs and do the meet and greets and stuff while you're there.
Oh, yeah. In the book tour, I always thought it was less about promoting a book and more about delivering a message. Mm-hmm. And the message here in this one is just to open up your mind to how you deal with your kids in sports.
That's a great message. I mean, yeah. I think it's very timely, too.
What we did, too, is in the instructional book, we had free clinics inside major stadiums. And we left money and equipment into each city we went into because we thought that was what we're doing. And this one, we created these town hall meetings where we have 50 parents in a school sort of auditorium, and we engage in a debate. And that's the real value to me, is because opinions are good, but when you start to share opinions and you get feedback, you start to confirm or change your thought process. And those sort of town hall meetings have been very very appropriate for me.
Cool. You save a lot of angst and a lot of kids, too, by this book. So
I know you got to go, and you're pretty cool with signing autographs, and we only have a couple hundred things.
That's all.
Is that cool?
There's very few things in life that actually your endurance goes up as you get older. I think signing is one of those.
Excellent. All right, Cal, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the book is called Parenting Young Athletes the Ripken Way, today at Barnes & Noble, and that's on Walnut from 12:30 to 2:30. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Cal Ripken Jr., the one and only. We are going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We have a few more things to get to, so stay where you are.
Monday nights just got a lot louder. Join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for massive amounts of Metallica every Monday night starting at 9. From the monster hits to deeper album cuts, spanning a Hall of Fame career, we're covering all the bases from one of rock's biggest bands. Check out WMMR.com for more from Metallica. Rock news, videos, and interviews with MMR DJs.
So true, Jackson.
The new and improved Metallica Mondays. 9 p.m. with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
There was an incident that happened in the skies recently, and it's pretty funny. I mean, it's, you know, what the guy saying is not funny, but the fact that this guy got busted is funny.
It absolutely speaks to Preston in this day and age of forgetting to shut your phone off, forgetting to treat every microphone as if it's on, all of the technology that's around, forgetting that there's cameras everywhere, and just not taking into consideration the people that might be listening to the conversation you're having.
A Houston-based airline pilot has been suspended after his cockpit microphone became stuck, allowing an obscenity-laced rant to be broadcast over hundreds of miles. Air traffic controllers to Houston first alerted FAA supervisors on March 25th, and those supervisors followed a tape of the episode they forwarded it to the Southwest Airlines people to take action against the pilot. The Southwest Airlines pilot, who is not identified, can be heard talking to his co-pilot in the cockpit, expressing frustration over the airline hiring so many flight attendants that he found to be unsuitable for dating.
He doesn't quite say it that way, but yeah.
We'll hear it in a second. Yeah, yeah. Here's the dangerous part about it. Pilots that within certain altitude guidelines over that entire geographic area were unable to communicate with Houston Center air traffic controllers for the entire 4-minute duration because he left it up.
Yes, exactly.
He was taking up the signal. It's like CB. Wow. When somebody's talking, it's a one way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a two way.
It's not a party line.
Yeah. So anyhow, they were unable to communicate for the duration of his conversation since his headset microphone was stuck. Southwest Airlines responded by saying that the pilot was suspended without pay, but the airline would not say how long that suspension lasted.
They also added that they don't charge for luggage.
No. I assume that there's no, like, giant light that they can see.
Kind of like our lights?
Our microphones that indicate.
No, not to the best of my knowledge.
I don't know. But we do have the audio if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. And this obviously had to be edited.
Yes.
Because the guy curses. All right, here we go.
On Indy all 4 weeks, and Chicago Cruise, 11 out of 12, there's 12 flight attendants, individual, never the same flight attendant twice, 11 over the top homosexuals and a granny. 11. I mean, think of the odds of that. I thought I was in Chicago, which was party land. After that, it was just the continuous dream then grannies, then grandes.
Gays, grannies, and grandes.
What's a grande?
Large women.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's saying it's old ladies, fat ladies, and gay people. And that's all that he's getting as far as a selection
right.
of women from the
Chicago area.
Flight attendants. Yeah.
Gays, grannies, and grandes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't give a I hate 100% of their asses. So 6 months, I went to the bar 3 times. In 6 months, 3 times. Once with the granny and the and I wish I had gone. At the very end with two girls, one of them that was probably doable, but we ended up going to the bar and then to the crew room in St. Louis. And all these two women wanted to do was one wanted to berate her sister and the other wanted to bitch about her husband.
Now, this is going to the tower.
Yes.
And not only is the tower hearing this whole thing, but the other flights
are hearing it.
Are hearing it as well. So they're listening in. And can you imagine being a pilot in another plane? Oh, my God. Listen to this guy. Listen to this guy.
And there's nothing. No, there's no way.
Yeah.
To let him know.
No. Nope. And I guess he's talking to the co-pilot.
He's talking to the co-pilot.
Right.
That's exactly it. Here's some more.
Literally. For 3 hours, me and the FO, when that was done, 2:30, got back to my room, I'm like, why the f*** did I step?
He was hoping to get some.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're on the left side of the plane, you're going to see the Rio Grande.
Yeah, and apparently he was just trying to fire on these chicks, and they had nothing to do with him. It was a waste of time for him.
Yeah.
One of them was married. He said all she was doing was bitch about her husband. That's right. All right, here's some more.
This is the kind of guy, you know this guy's dick, because he's talking about it. He goes, I don't care. I hate 100% of their asses.
Right. All right, here's some more.
Okay, whoever's transmitting, you better watch what you're saying.
All right, so that's the tower.
The tower.
Getting back to him saying,
hello.
Yeah, and I guess this was after his mic must have clicked off at that point. I'm not sure.
Saying it. Friendly, but they're still moped. You know what I mean? I still wouldn't want anyone to know if I had banged them.
No, he's still talking. I wouldn't anyone this know is if prob- I banged them.
Preston, this is probably audio gotten from the tower.
Right. All right, let me go back it up a little bit so we can hear the
You better watch what you're saying.
And.
Okay, whoever's transmitting, you better watch what you're saying. Friendly, but they're still moped. You know what I mean? I still wouldn't want anyone to know if I had banged them. So, now I'm back in Houston, which is easily one of the ugliest bases.
Tara needs some assistance on a question. Should I be banging fat chicks or not? Can you get back to me with that?
So
yeah, this is the tower. We think you probably should. It's a generous thing to do. Chuck with that every now and then. Roger that, tower. We will be banging fat chicks there. Thanks for the input.
Have a safe flight.
Have a safe flight. And coming on runway 1, if you're loaded up with fat chicks, make it runway 2.
I mean, come on.
And
you know, it just seems like you know, he's too much of a dude.
Yeah.
We don't anticipate the pilots are always like, hey, we know you could have had a number of choices to fly today. We're glad you flew with us.
Make sure that some of the luggage might have shifted during landing. And oh, by the way, never bang a fat chick. Because they hang on you like a sucker fish and they call it up like, feed me, Seymour.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
You can find a number of different airlines today. So it's like the choice you have out when you're in the dating world. Should I bang fat chicks or not? And we're glad you chose us over the fat chick.
But he mentions that Houston, he says, is easily the ugliest base. Easily.
Hey, guys, at least he didn't say Philadelphia. Yeah.
Which is correct, proven by Travel and Leisure magazine.
They all just hate flying into here.
Yeah.
I backed it up so you can hear him talking about being ugly again.
So, now I'm back in Houston, which is easily one of the ugliest bases. I mean, it's all these old dudes and grannies, and there's like maybe a handful of cute chicks.
Okay, someone's got a stuck mic and tell us all about their endeavors. We don't need to hear that.
Houston, SkyWest,
Now by this time the mic's not stuck, and these are the other flights
that are checking in.
That have been waiting for instructions, and they start checking in, and you can hear this.
So I got three.
Go ahead.
What's that? So I got three senior citizens bent over a table, right? And I got this vibrator that I ordered from Sweden. This thing's not kicking in, and there I smell. There's a whole bunch of crotch rot going on. Hello, who's this?
All right, here we go.
Houston, SkyWest,
5. We were 19-5 for 230, and that was not us.
that was nice. Not us.
Good.
I love
we,
that.
We love Houston and the plump women.
That was not us.
All right, let me back that up just a little bit more.
5. We were 19-5 for 230, and that was not us.
That was 6285 Houston Center. Roger, climb and maintain.
Wait, was that guy giggling
yeah.
a little bit
yeah.
from the tower? Hold on, let me go get it.
And that was not us.
Scott was 6285 Houston Center. Roger, climb and maintain. Flight level 360.
Here's another
and by the way, and this all back and forth is simply so that they can safely land hundreds of people without
That's all.
Crashing
That's
in
it.
Midair. Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is... this is another one checking in, I think.
360 on Skyway 6285, and they wonder why airline pilots have a bad reputation.
There you go. There you go. So all the person that was responsible for that little rant apparently got a suspension. We don't know how long, and they're not identifying who the pilot was.
I mean, that's good for him.
I would have loved to have seen the face once he realized
yes.
that he had given that entire diatribe over the radio.
Yeah, yeah. At that very moment, right afterwards, that he realized it.
I just grabbed myself. I was just my own urine and fecal matter. I just made a huge career-ending mistake, folks. I'm gonna crash this into the side of a mountain.
Flight's over, y'all.
Wow. I'm sorry. You can consider yourselves collateral damage. I cannot face my loved ones, and I must draw my life to an end right now.
You remember the story, and speaking about being over at, like, a PA system, this was maybe 2 years ago at that Walmart in Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody picked it up and said that all black people had to leave the store right now. I think was it Ra there, one of our friends?
Yeah,
was
like, yeah.
He was shopping.
He was in the store when he heard it.
With his daughter, right?
Yeah. Hang on, let me go.
Someone knew. That's why they figured it had to be someone who might have worked there before.
Because you need a code.
You need to punch in a code to hit that general access.
Right. Let me go to Colleen. Hey, Colleen, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You rock.
Hey, Colleen. What's going on?
Well, I'm a nurse, and one day at the hospital, we were paging this one particular doctor who is a real jerk.
Yeah.
And the operators come on, and they page his name. And then afterwards, instead of shutting down their mic, they just went on this long rant about this guy. And it's blasted through the whole hospital. And there's no way for us to get her to shut up except by calling a code blue so that she will get off the mic and answer the other line.
Code blue means somebody's heart stopped, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Was the doctor being referred to able to hear this rant as well?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Ah.
And that was the best part, because this guy was such a jerk that we all wanted to say it, but never really could. So she gave it all out there for us, man. It was awesome.
All right. So, Colleen, two things. Did she face any repercussions from that?
You know what? In our hospital system, our operators are not located at our particular hospital. They're in a base hospital downtown.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not really sure whatever happened after that, but... Man, it was awesome.
All right. And also, Colleen, did anybody hear how the doctor reacted to that?
Oh, he was pissed.
Okay. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
Good.
He was pissed. And like I said, it was poetic justice.
I'll bet. For you guys, that's awesome. All right, thanks. We appreciate it. Here's a text that says, I worked with a guy at Staples that would fart over the store intercom all the time.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Casey, that would have been you. That would have been you had you had access to a...
You think I could do that?
Do it here. We have an intercom.
We do. Yeah. Do you think you could on demand?
No. I don't have that talent.
You can call Chuck down to the studio.
We don't do it much here, but I think at some of our older bit when we worked at Y100, we used to do
all the time
intercom stuff all the time.
Well, you know what? Yeah. No, they do use it here. It's just we can't hear it from our
right,
office
in the studio, but
and in the office
when you do it here, you're right. In our office, you can't. When you do it here, does it also do our sister stations?
I don't think so.
It doesn't.
No,
I think it just MMR.
Does. Is there one? Sweet. Full greater media page that would go to all of the stations at once?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because we have MGK, we have Ben.
Marissa says that they do all go. They go to all the stations.
Oh, really?
When
so
you're looking,
there
for...
is a general page. It'll go to every station.
Yeah, it'll go to all the offices of all the great.
That's what I thought.
You know, there's downstairs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh, right. Really?
Thank you.
Pound two or something.
Yeah, pound two is what does it. But I don't think Casey it works on that phone. I think you have to use one of the phones that we have in our offices.
That's the one that Casey has right there.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, he's doing a page right now.
Paging all zones. I've got a big load in my pants.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Oh, the office isn't open. It's 7:30 mark. There's a couple of people that came in for work early who are enjoying
I bet
this.
You I know who's here.
Wait, do it again.
John Fulham.
John Fulham. The manager. The group manager. Did you just say John Fulham wears a toupee?
Yeah, you guys are worried about what I said in the office. This went all over the world.
That's true. That's true. Oh, wait, here's Bill.
Bill there are Burns, people at work.
Our sales manager. He just came walking down the hall. Is it
me, John Fulham? Heard you.
All right. Nice. I love it.
I didn't know we had that power.
Oh. Yeah.
And you know, why is it? You just brought up a very good point.
Yeah.
Preston, it's the dumbest thing. We broadcast out over to thousands of people.
Yeah.
Yet hearing yourself on a paging thing
more fun.
Or a megaphone is like, oh, that's so cool.
I drive a car and I get so excited when I'm in a golf cart.
I know. You know what? That is a similar statement. You're right.
A few weeks ago, Casey and I both had appearances. I think it was at Acme, right? And we got to use the PA system in the grocery store. And
attention Acme shoppers.
Attention shoppers.
And our job is on the radio.
Attention shoppers. I spill on aisle four.
It works. Everybody can hear me.
Why is that such a thrill?
I don't know.
When you're talking to hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me go to Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Rebecca?
Hey, I am an actor, and I was working on a show here in Philadelphia. And the very first time we had an audience, the stage manager at the top of the show had accidentally left her microphone on that speaks out to the stage and the whole audience. And at the very beginning of the show, during the first scene, I was on stage with the lead, and we're like, I can hear something. And they were talking about, the stage manager and the soundboard operator in the booth were talking about how horrible the lead actress was.
Oh!
Was
That's awesome.
Going all over the audience, and everybody heard
this
it.
This chick can't act. I mean, who did she have to give a hum or two to get this role?
I mean, like, they couldn't be talking about something technical.
No,
right?
they couldn't be.
Yeah,
right at that time when it sticks, it's never going to be about, we really need some gaffing tape on that.
Yeah, no, it's something.
Oh, that's terrible.
Personal.
Yeah.
That ends up coming out. Wow.
Guess who got rid of the baby?
Oh,
Jesus.
Thanks, Rebecca. We've been wired for sound a few times on shoots and stuff like that. And
oh, yeah.
You have to wear this little lavalier mic, which is so light you don't even know it's there. It's clipped to your clothing, and a battery pack, which is clipped on your waist. And sometimes you just forget you have it on. But there's a guy somewhere
listening,
got headphones on.
Yeah.
He's listening to every single thing you're saying.
If I ever have to wear one of those, I was so trained to turn it off over at Channel 10 because I was in a different studio than the rest them. So if it was on, everybody over at Channel 10 would hear. So I would always turn it off. So now if I ever have to wear one of those, I always turn it off, and I'll get yelled at. Like, they keep telling me, keep it on.
What about at Sixers games, Kathy? Because it's similar there. And when you were doing the in arena host stuff,
there was mine was set up so that only.
I really need some badger silk. I'm baking bagels down here. This is bad news. What?
No, they had to turn me on. So I was, for the most part, until it was my, until I was up to speak, I was off.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm just, how our sales staff never listens to the show and they always ask us what we said? Well, I've just put the receiver of the phone in my ear so now that they can hear the show because it's playing at their desk. So
right now.
It's working, right?
This is being broadcast, or not broadcast, really. It's just being played over the PA.
Do you know the stupid thing is? I want to go out to the sales area to hear what we sound like over the intercom.
I know. I do too.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go.
Just take a
Nick,
walk.
Go out there.
Right. And then call us, Nick.
Hold on. I want to see if
call you're going to get us Bill's in trouble.
Nick, testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? Can you hear us? Wait. Yes. He's giving us a thumbs up. That's good. Okay.
I wonder how that sounds.
All right. Hold on. Let me go to.
Call us, Nick.
I'm going to go to a phone call here. But before we get to Nick, let me go to John. Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, John?
About 5-6 years ago, a buddy of mine made a cassette tape of a woman having an orgasm.
Yeah.
And he had it set up so it was about 10, 15 seconds of nothing, and then the audio kicked in.
Okay.
He went to a Best Buy, plugged it in one of the stereos and turned the volume up all the way.
Oh, my God.
Ran back and he has video of all these blue shirts running to the audio section.
That's awesome.
John, you need to send it to us.
Yeah. That is a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Find it.
And you could do it with a CD. Now, because yes. They probably don't have the cassette players, you
just build in a lag time to give you time to get away from the blast zone.
And you just crank up the system and walk away. That is a great idea. Since we are on the PA here in our office right
now. In everyone's office,
why don't you play an orgasm sound like
no,
that?
No, you're going to get us in trouble.
See if we could maybe kind of...
This is in John Fulham's office.
All right, let me call. Hang on, let me go to Nick. And hey, Nick, are you there?
Hey, first time, long time.
Hey. Hey.
110%.
What's up, man?
This is so weird. So I can hear you guys on hold, and then I can hear you guys on the intercom, and then I heard the orgasm guy in the intercom, and apparently it's going to every office, including, like, the Fanatic.
Other people are trying to do a show, too.
All yeah, right.
So no, I think, not in the studios.
I think the salespeople in the other stations are starting to get pissed.
Wait, yeah. Here's Mario from Ben FM just came down the hall, our sister station. And
Mario's the only one who actually shows up before he's supposed to be here.
He
doesn't
look
happy.
I don't think
anybody has to be here till 8:30, so.
See, by the way, why does
all right,
it
I'm
go,
hanging up, everybody.
Why does it go to every station?
Because they might need to page somebody. Sometimes the calls filter in downstairs in MGK. They come to the main office.
Yeah.
Or they might go to they might need somebody in MMR or in at any one of our stations, so they need to say, hey, so and so has a call. Or, I don't know,
Can
man.
I tell you something? What? I still don't know how to use our phones.
No. I don't either.
I just accidentally figured out how to conference a call yesterday.
Yeah. Hang on
you ever do that where you think you've clicked someone off?
Yes.
Yes.
They're still there?
Let me go to... We got a number of good calls. We got to wrap this up in just a second. Let me go to Rick here. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Yo, Rick.
Yo, Rick. Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
None. I'm in the military, and... Whenever you're stationed overseas, they have what's called AFN, the Armed Forces Network, and basically
yes.
Network to blast all the local or all the national shows across for as it overseas.
Yep,
including stuff like Good Morning America, all the national news. Mm-hmm. But if you ever watch the national news, there's a part where they give like a 1 minute break for them to go to local news. Well, in that time frame, there's no local news from the play because it's a blend of everybody from across states overseas, so it'd be a blend, so they're not going to just focus on one local area.
Sure.
So in that time frame, they just leave the local or the national news on radio, or their mics open.
Right.
They'll just go to a blank screen and leave the radio on. And so you hear people like Al Roper or whatever just shooting the breeze with the crowd and whatnot, or talking to the cameraman saying, like, I got to get a new job. I don't like this anymore.
Do you hear curses?
You won't hear curses because I'm sure the FCC will regulate that one a little more.
Yeah, and that used to like be a big sell for when the satellite dish stuff first came out. They used to just run the feed uninterrupted,
right?
Yes. And you would see like the anchorman sitting there checking his mic and all that stuff,
right?
And that was a big thing in this day and age.
You're a dirty little hooker.
Yeah, you're a dirty little hooker. Yeah. When you have stuff like that that's legitimately happened,
right.
It's not such a big thrill to see Al Roker, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. As we wrap this up, should I play just a little bit more of that audio?
Oh, please.
Yeah, please.
The pilot.
Okay, whoever is transmitting, go watch what you're saying.
All right, hold on. Let me back it up.
I think that, yeah, that's a good alert, but the guy couldn't hear it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't give a I hate 100% of their ass. So, 6 months, I went to the bar 3 times. It's 6 months.
By the way, great admission for a pilot. To tell you how frequently he's going to the bar.
Yeah.
He only went 3 times in 6 months. Yeah.
Still.
Once with the granny and the and I wish I had gone. At the very end with two girls, one of them that was probably doable, but we ended up going to the bar and then to the crew room in St. Louis. And all these two women wanted to do was one wanted to berate her sister and the other wanted to bitch about her husband. Literally. For 3 hours, me and the FO. When that was done, 2:30 got back to my room. I'm like, why the did I step?
I am not going to get any
trim tonight.
Nope. No, sir. Wow. All right. Well, be careful. If you have a microphone in your possession and you use it at work, make sure it's off
before
you have any kind of conversation outside of what is considered business. We got a break. We'll come back in a moment. Stay right there.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File today is brought to you by Armor Metals and Recycling, your trusted recycling partner.
Prospective drug dealers, please take notes when setting up a score. It's a bad idea to bring along a couple of young children and a loaded shotgun.
Oh, I'd agree with that.
A drug deal down in the parking lot of a pharmacy earlier this month was interrupted by a terrific blast when children brought to the deal by their mother and left in the backseat of a minivan got a hold of the firearm.
What did I tell you?
A 3-year-old pulled the trigger on the shotgun. The discharge went into the roof of the vehicle and no one was hurt, but a passerby heard the gunshot, called police. An officer found two
Don't they have safety locks for those?
They found two uncooperative adults and learned that a third had fled. The three adults were arrested, and the State Department of Family and Children's Services is investigating the incident.
Unbelievable.
You can imagine. This is going out with style right here, folks. A veteran skydiver left a suicide note before intentionally freeing himself from his parachute in midair and plunged to his death over an upstate New York farm.
Wow.
Robert Rackey, who was 60 years old, unbuckled the chute after leaping from a plane at about 8,000 feet on Sunday. His body was found in a field about 35 miles north of Albany.
You got to figure that all that time jumping, it always goes to your mind. I wonder what it would be like if I went all the way down.
Yeah.
Well, they got to find out.
He did. Neither the note nor a subsequent investigation explained why he killed himself, but he did it on purpose, took the chute off in mid-flight, and there you go. A woman in West Virginia who stole a hearse from a funeral home also ended up stealing a dead body in the back of the car.
Oh, no. Whoops.
Angela DeHart allegedly jumped into the hearse after the driver left the car running outside of a funeral home on Tuesday.
And there's Mrs. DeHart.
According to police, she drove home where authorities later found the car and the body. The 23-year-old faces charges of grand larceny and displacement of a body.
Wow.
A young woman on a big horse charged out of the pack of grizzly bear stories this summer near Glacier National Park. In a cloud of dust, a 25-year-old wrangler likely saved a boy's life while demonstrating that skill, quick thinking, and guts sometimes are the best weapons against a head-on charging bear.
And bears can run very fast.
Aaron Bolster of Swan Mountain Outfitters was guiding 8 clients on a horse ride. The group included a family of 6 plus a vacationing Illinois man who booked the trip with his 8-year-old son for his first horse riding experience.
This looks nummy.
The young boy was riding Scout. That was his horse, following directly behind Bolster, who was leading the group on a horse named Tonk, a very large horse, about 18 hands high. She said, we came around a corner on a trail and my horse stopped firm and wouldn't move. He never refuses to go, so that caught my attention quick, but not fast enough to avoid the white-tailed deer that burst out of the bush and glanced off of Tonk's left front shoulder. shoulder. His tongue spun from the impact. Bolster saw a huge grizzly bear crashing through the forest right at the group in pursuit of the deer. The horses panicked. All of them took off. And the one that the little boy was on, Scout, went off on his own. Well, the bear picked up on that and started chasing after the boy on the horse.
Jesus.
With the bear on Scout's heels, Tonk's instinct was to flee with the group of horses, but Tonk responded to the woman, Bolster. She put her heels in his ribs and spun him around. She said, I bent down, screamed and yelled, but the bear was growling and snarling and staying very focused on Scout. She said, I had to get Tonk to square off and face the bear. We had to get the bear to acknowledge us, and we did. We got his attention, and then the bear charged at her.
Whoa.
So she charged at the bear. I mean, she's
leading a horse against its natural instinct to charge a grizzly bear.
The bear came within about 10 feet before it skittered off to the side, but it quickly angled and made another stab getting to the boy who had fallen off of the horse onto the ground.
Oh, boy.
She said, Tonk and I had to go at the bear a third time before we finally phased him away. The boy had landed in some bear grass and was okay. She gathered the boy up on Tonk, grabbed Scout's lead, and then trotted back down the trail.
Wow.
Met up with the other horses. I mean, this woman was a... That's a cowboy move right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Saving this kid.
You know, a grizzly at a full clip can run like 30 miles an hour.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Horses are awesome, too.
Yeah, they are. And then finally, we'll end with another animal story. And I have to
walk. In this one, the bear wins.
I have to walk gingerly.
Okay.
An American man has written a book about a firsthand account. Now, we all love dolphins, right?
Oh, yes, do we ever.
Malcolm Brenner had a friendlier relationship with than most. In 1970, the photographer embarked on a 9-month sexual relationship with Ruby, a captive female dolphin.
Oh, my God.
And he has now written a book about the experience called Wet Goddess.
This guy needs to be killed.
Mr. Brenner spoke to Nightline.
Is that them doing it?
Uh-huh.
And Who's your porpoise? Who's your porpoise?
They had a transcript of the conversation. It went like this. The interviewer says, how did this whole thing start?
We met in a bar.
He said...
I was in at a convention.
He said, she began raking her teeth lightly against my arms and legs.
No teeth, no teeth.
Which was indescribably erotic. Some might find it frightening. I found it erotic. And the interviewer asked, in your book, you talk about how that led... on to you two having relations. A lot of people would say that's wrong. What's right in your mind about what you did? He said, what was right with it is that the dolphin initiated the whole thing.
It's the best part.
So the dolphin started.
The dolphin was hitting on him. Well, he's just very attractive.
As I mentioned, she was in isolation. She had been using me to satisfy her needs.
So exactly how were they consummating this?
I don't know.
Was he violating the blowhole?
No, he was...
Doing it
in the right spot.
In the right spot.
Yeah. The relationship lasted 9 months.
I thought maybe the dolphin would save that for the boyfriend, but the blowhole was up for grabs.
Mm-hmm. When Mr. Brenner went to college, Ruby passed away, possibly due to a broken heart. He said, I'd warn anyone who is in a relationship with a dolphin, you have to plan an exit strategy. We're looking at a video of a dolphin humping a person.
It's really funny.
Wow. Dude, and they can kill you.
Yes, they can.
I mean, they're huge. Mr. Brenner's book, Wet Goddess, is currently rated number 5 stars out of 5 on Amazon.com.
Are they raising the children as Catholics?
They didn't have any kids.
This idiot says that it's a typical Romeo Juliet story.
Oh, sure. It is. Yeah. Oh, typical.
Yeah. Huh?
Of course. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Except Juliet is 400 pounds.
A lot of people don't realize that in the original text of Romeo and Juliet, Juliet was a dolphin.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you, my friends.
People are effed up.
Yes, they are. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration and complete details at WMMR.com, and check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bollé and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
We are going to welcome back a good friend of the show. We had him in last time because there was a whole other side of him that we were not aware of, and it involves erotic poetry and erotic verse on stage.
Think of what if you found out that Mr. Green Jeans from the Captain Kangaroo show was actually a good friend of Ron Jeremy's.
Then that's the kind of amazement that you would have.
Shocked as we were
when we found out about him. And we have a jingle.
Really?
To play. Have you heard this yet?
I just heard a little bit of it.
This, yeah. Who did this case?
This is intern Chris Farley.
Intern Chris Farley. Jake. Took it upon himself. We didn't even ask for this. And we have a jingle. You ready?
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Time for some more ear penetration with Preston and Steve's erotic poetry. And now, the man of the segment, he's an engineer, he loves freckles, and he wants to put his poems in you. Give it up for Lou!
I like it.
Lou, engineer. Lou, how are you, man?
Oh, great. Thank you. It's great to be back. Yeah. I thought I only had 15 minutes of fame.
No, you're looking at a good 20 now.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it rolling. By the way, we saw a little bit of this video of you. It was where'd you get this, Nick?
Marissa sent it. She is on YouTube, and I guess some of the poetry that Lou does and some of your other fellow poets will be recorded at the places where you guys go, and you put them up on YouTube and share them and then do whatever perverted stuff you guys do after.
This wasn't really poetry. It was more just spoken word. Sharing a story, right?
Just stories.
Yeah, and it was you went on three separate cruises in a row.
Yes.
3 weeks.
Yes.
And you had saved up all your vacation, took it all in one shot, right?
That's right. That was to make a break between my past married life and my new life. Right?
So you were basically a caged animal ready to go.
That's right.
Okay.
You looked so comfortable up on stage, though, Lou. Like, you really looked like you were in your element.
No, you are, clearly. Yeah, it was very comfortable.
Yeah, I enjoy it very much.
Does performing come naturally to you? You know?
Well, that's a story in itself, but... Yes, somebody actually advised me, you know, I should get back into entertainment after my music career. And this is what I chose.
You might know Lou as Keith Richards.
Well, Lou managed to really wow us last time I was here. Just a short little bit of poetry, dude. We got the freckles line from him.
Love freckles.
Last time he was here. And Lou, you have something that you're going to read for us now?
Sure.
Have a title or just a...
I hope it's not disappointing because it's not erotica.
That's okay.
It's sensual.
Well, no, that's good, too. Okay.
Like sensual, too.
Now, I think the last one you did for us, the LF Freckles, was that part of a quatrain, or was that...
Just a pseudo...
It was a haiku, right?
A haiku. Okay.
Yeah. What form is this one?
This is kind of free verse.
Okay, free verse.
And it's called... you want it now?
Yeah, sure.
I got addicted on my vacations on the ships to the hot tub.
Ooh, the hot tub.
Okay, all right.
And this is Ode to a Hot Tub.
Ode to a Hot Tub.
Do you have it? Well, I'll
do it. Do you want a different kind of music? Do you want...
Do you have Lawrence Welk?
Lawrence Welk?
His theme song?
No.
Okay.
Closer by Nine Inch Nails. Is that good?
Now, Pierre's got it. We'll get it for you.
I should have prepared you ahead of time. Okay.
All right, well, hang on.
No, you want Lawrence Welk? We'll get you Lawrence Welk.
By the way, so we can reestablish your background while we're getting that music. How old are you, by the way, Lou?
I'm 70 now.
70? Looks like he's 15, 20 years younger than that.
Yeah, easily.
Well, a guy at the gym the other day was complaining about his knees. He says, you look younger and wiser. Why do my knees no longer work? And I said, well, how old are you? He said, 56.
Wow.
You know why you're holding up so well? Because you're basically ironing yourself every time you get in the hot tub.
That's right.
All the wrinkles come out. It's like going a human dry cleaner.
That's true.
And when did your marriage end? How long ago was that?
The divorce came through March 10th, and at March 11th, I was up on eHarmony.
Wow! Real quick. Wow.
That's another story.
And how long had you been married?
Ended up killing a man.
April 12th. It was 30 years.
30 years.
That's wild. Your life is starting anew. It seems you're embracing it, but was there even a little bit of time where you're like, oh man, I don't know if I want to get back out and do this, or you just said, okay, I'm committing. I'm changing.
On the first cruise, I wasn't looking for anybody.
Right.
The very first night, one dropped right into my lap.
Literally?
Well, almost literally.
Here, back up.
Were you on the cruise by yourself?
Yeah, it was a singles cruise. I was on with a group of about 100 people.
How long before you're playing nude shuffleboard?
Not quite that.
No, okay, all right.
Not quite.
I admire that. I think that'd be tough for anybody, especially after 3 decades of a relationship, to go try something new.
And Lou, at 70, what age range are you looking at for
15 to 18?
A female companionship.
Well, they're coming in at about the rate of 10 a day.
Wow.
And they're coming in at about from 75 to 55.
So, okay, 75 to 55 is about that age range. Okay.
Wow. So you're tossing the 75-year-olds and focusing on the 55?
Trying to, yeah.
I think you should shoot for the 55 because you carry yourself in a much younger way. Yeah. I think
you know what I'm shooting for?
What?
Not only a woman that I like, but one that has a house free and clear.
Okay.
All right.
None Someone to pay your bills.
Yep. That's right. No, I'll pay her bills.
All right. Do we have the music yet?
There we go.
Okay. All right.
Okay, don't.
Hold on.
Hold it.
Lou's got this all worked out. What do you want?
He'll give you the cue.
All right, here we go.
Ready? Yep. Ode to a hot tub. Turn on the bubble machine.
Sorry. Right, he's gesturing.
I want to end it to
him. You'll point when it's right.
Point to me when you want it.
Okay,
right, here we go.
Would a hot tub by any other name, jacuzzi, whirlpool, be less like a volcano beneath me? Or something from a witch's cave, double toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. If you breathe right, if you hold the air in your lungs most of the time, you can float free. Not like in a sensory deprivation tank, but on a battleground of bubbles, bubbles of howitzer size, hands over the bubble streams to correct yaw, pitch, and roll. A full body massage, better than Kim the masseuse, better than Antoine the masseur, better than hot rocks and oil, better than mud packs, better than the Romans with their baths and hot springs. They did have Vesuvius, but Pompeii people found out you could not get into that. A steam room? Old school. I cannot breathe in there. A sauna? A good place to dry off after your shower. The hot tub is not about you and me. There is no room for anyone else when I am stretched out full up to my neck in water, the temperature of a killing fever that brings the blood to the surface, heals all aches and pains. There's a stage direction here. It says pause for 15 minutes.
Minutes?
The music. Music. We're not going to do the full 15 minutes, are we?
Okay, that's about as much of that as I can stand. I better get out before I cook, like the frog in the pot where they keep turning up the heat. Turn off the bubble machine.
Wow. Cryptic and disgusting and everything I wanted in a poem. Awesome.
Lou.
Lou, let me ask you, not to get too personal, but if one were to visit your home and go up to your bedroom, is there a bunch of stuff we wouldn't know what it was?
No,
like machines and stuff, things?
But a friend I met on eHarmony has a jacuzzi.
Really? Now, I assume you've gotten intimate in a jacuzzi, correct?
Not yet. You didn't fill it up first time it was there.
Okay. It kind of defeats the purpose.
Did you fill it up?
You're basically sitting in a kettle at that point.
I do hear it's overrated, though.
Sex in a jacuzzi?
Yeah, and then in a pool as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
It gets rid of things that you need to make it more slippery.
Slippery.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you guys talk on.
You know what's great, though? In Bed Bath & Beyond.
By the way, I have this instant message. This is a great idea. To the Philly's hottest,
yeah,
we should add to the prize a poem written for them by Lou.
Could you do that, Lou?
I'll try. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you can't just force poems.
No, I know that.
This one just...
We can't commission you?
Dropped in my lap.
Yeah.
You know, even Maya Angelou was commissioned.
Yeah.
You got time.
Send me pictures.
Okay. Okay. Well, sure, put up the picture. Put up the picture of our winner, Ketterine.
There you go.
Yeah. Could you work with that, Lou?
You think you could work
probably,
with that?
Probably, yeah.
All right.
I would call it ass with pockets on it.
Yeah.
You right. can title the poems.
I'll title the poems for you. Right. Ass right. with pockets on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our engineer, Lou.
Yes!
Yeah! He has given us another poetry. All right. Another poem, I should say. Another poem.
Hey, that was good. And
was
the,
good.
We were screwing up the musical cues. We didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I didn't know. We'll work it out next time. All right, well, listen, we're going to take a quick break and come back in just a moment. Stay where you are.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I think we're going to have to start off with a clip.
Yeah, we have to.
From our next guest, and I'll play this and then do the introduction, but I love this. And was this edited, I hope?
we're going to find out. Yeah.
Right, here we go.
You know, Andy, I've been thinking about your problem. I think I might have a solution for you. You ever heard of the term buddy?
It's what?
It's a special friend. Who you
no, I haven't heard that term.
Hey, it's Jane Lynn!
Yeah!
How are you, Jane?
I'm great. Thank you for having
Our
me.
Our pleasure. I think that you are hands down the funniest actress out there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. No, that's so sweet.
Are you serious? You're just a clinic in how to do dry comedic acting, and you hold your own against real heavy. I mean, Steve Carell and
Eugene Levy,
yeah, and all the Christopher Guest players. It's yeah. it's always just great to watch you work because
thank you.
You go to that. There's that fine line, you know, where it goes. It becomes absurd,
yes.
and you just stay right on the rim there, and it's just hilarious always
on the edge of ridiculous.
Edge of ridiculous, yes, right. Yeah, but just enough to be feasible. Where you're saying,
good,
oh,
good,
oh my
good.
God,
just your on camera testimonials and best in show, where it was, you know, we both like soup, yeah, which I don't think was your line.
That
was
no, that her. Was Jennifer Coolidge, yeah. but that's okay.
But did you spend time in Philadelphia for that movie?
No, we didn't. No. We shot it in Vancouver.
Yeah. You know, Philadelphia just sort of claims that as...
Well, you should, because it takes place in your
right,
city.
So regardless, there should be a statue of you on the...
Right next to
William Penn and Rocky, yeah.
Jane, we're probably going to sit here and just quote you the whole time.
Oh, please do.
But the part where she's talking about, you know, putting the makeup on her, and you're like, I looked freakish.
You're just going to have to let this one go.
You're just going to have to let that go.
It was on last night. And yeah. I'm like, I watch it every time it comes on. It's such a great movie.
Jennifer said to Chris when we were shooting that, can't we, you know, shoot us, me putting the makeup on Jane? And he said, no, all you have to do is suggest it, and that's enough.
Yeah. He was right. It had to be a blast to work, because Jennifer Coolidge is also fantastic.
She's great. You know, it was our first Christopher Guest movie, and we were both very, 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 very nervous. And we bonded, and we hung out together. But for both of us, we both thought that we did horrible jobs. And basically, when you do those movies, they shoot and shoot and shoot. And so if you feel terrible about something, they're going to edit something together to make you look brilliant.
Is it nerve-wracking, though? I mean,
it was at first, yeah. Now I get the drill. I know what it is, and I know that if I don't feel good about it, they'll put it together and make it look good.
For screen time, how much, for an average exchange in that movie or any of the Christopher Guest movies, which predominantly are improv based on a suggestion of the scene, correct?
Right, exactly.
How much is shot, you know, the ratio to what's shot to what ends up on screen?
10% ends up on
really?
Screen. He shoots and shoots and shoots. You're improvising, and you're feeling like you've got nothing left to say, and you hear the whir of the camera, that it's still going, you got to keep going. So they're long, 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 long takes. And then he'll say, can you do that again? And he moves the camera.
And I assume, was it a fairly similar situation with 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah, the 40-Year-Old Virgin, we had a script that wasn't very good, and they kind of knew it wasn't. My agents told me, oh, don't take this. This is terrible. And I said, I think I know what they're going to do. So, basically, we all showed up every day, and Judd Apatow, our director, would say, you get in there and, you know, make me laugh. You get in there and make me laugh. So basically,
that's cool.
We threw the script
that's
away.
Really cool. That's great.
Yeah, we improvised that every day.
And the thing about the Christopher Guest films, and it started with me
Waiting for Guffman?
Yeah, bypassing Spinal Tap, which is its own creature, but Waiting for Guffman, which you're not in, though, but the same thing had happened with each one of those films. Is the first time I saw it, I'm like, this is...
kind of weird. This is, I don't know what this is. But the more you see it, the more it becomes just hilarious.
You can keep watching Guffman, and it's more hilarious than the last time you watched it.
Yeah. Do you know what makes it so? Is because while there is a gentle lampooning of these characters, there's also a genuine affinity for
them.
Yeah,
and there's heart in it. Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're mocking anybody.
But it's great.
Yeah, and I think when Christopher Guest is absolutely his best, when these movies are their best, is when you have kind of a small subculture, kind of a group of people who within their own kind of their minority, and they're reaching for the big prize. You know?
Yeah.
Like we want to go to Broadway. We want to win Best in Show. We want to be the best folk group. We want to win an Academy Award. I think that's what makes them so. It's the striving.
Your turn as a Mary Hart kind of entertainment reporter in For Your Consideration was great as well. Do you ever get a response back from somebody that you might sort of casually be lampooning when you do these?
I did hear Mary Hart wasn't a fan of it. I think.
Really?
And actually, for me, it was a tribute to her. I thought she's the classiest of all.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I heard she didn't care for it that much.
She needs to lighten up a bit.
No,
it's you.
A little more obscure, but a show that made me laugh out loud. And I don't even. What was your character in Help Me Help You, the TV show?
Yeah, I was the therapist. This is Ted Danson's show that was canceled after about 10 episodes. It was really good, though.
It made that. I laughed.
We had
that
group. We were all therapists in a group having therapy. And we had different people every week. I was in it pretty constantly, but we had like Judd Apatow, Seth Rogen. It was really fun.
What was your problem in that?
I think I was just very dry.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Oh, I was sleeping with Seth MacFarlane.
All right. That's what I thought.
The creator Family Guy.
Okay,
he's a really funny guy.
You were a therapist.
That was my problem.
Yes, Two and a Half Men as well.
Yeah, I play a lot of therapists.
You play a lot
in Boston
of
Legal too. I play a sexual therapist in Boston.
Right. You can do that clinical sort of thing very well.
It's remarkable how many movies you're in that are like my favorite movies of all time, though, because you had a small role in The Fugitive.
Yeah.
But I've watched that movie a million times and then didn't watch it for a couple of years and then watched Best in Show and all the guest movies. And then I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, that's the same actress. Was that your first, I guess, big movie?
Fugitive? Yeah. I was still living in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I was still living there. And that movie came into town and we were all hoping to get a part in it. And I got lucky enough to get one.
Now, I think of people who can pull off great dramatic acting and great comedic acting. I think of people like Jack Lemmon.
Yeah.
Do you think if you have a great comedic sense, you can be? Because I've always heard, comedy is hard.
Yeah. I think if you're going to be a great actor, period, like you look at our greatest actors, Meryl Streep, Al Pacino, they can all make fun of themselves.
Right.
Robert De Niro, they can all do comedy.
And Meryl Streep is your personal favorite, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And you worked with her on Lemony
Snicket. And I just did the movie Julia. About Julia Child.
Meryl Streep plays
Julia Child, and I play her sister.
Oh, that's great.
So How about that?
I got to share the screen with Meryl and Stanley Tucci as well, who's
very
a wonderful
cool
actor, yeah.
I want to ask, go back to the 40-year-old virgin, because...
we're basically going to kiss your ass off today. All you got to do is sit there and let us fall.
I love it.
We're going to jump all over the place, but knowing now that that some of this stuff was improv, your Spanish love song?
Yeah.
All right, so was that improv, like, did you just kind of throw that out there?
We play it all the time, Jade.
Part
of this is her facial expressions.
Yes.
This part, the face you make here.
Did you know what you were singing, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
This is, I came up with this while I was sitting around, you know, when Judd would say, you go in. We were, it was the day before we were going to shoot this, and it's a Spanish monologue from high school. It's a dialogue, actually.
Yeah, we thought it was just gibberish.
Yeah. No, it actually is. Whenever I clean my room, I can't find anything. Where are you going with such haste to a football game?
So wait a minute, was this a monologue you did?
No.
It's ALM Spanish. It's level one Spanish that I learned in high school.
Kathy, it's a dialogue that you repeat to learn the language.
So you just sang it?
Yeah. and I put it to music.
Oh, my God.
The only thing missing is the bibliotheque, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, biblioteca, yes.
Is that the only take of that song?
No, I think we did it a couple times.
Okay.
And, you know, I told Steve... Right, but I didn't tell anybody I was going to do it, and I said, "Steve, I'm going to do a little song," and he said, "Okay." So he wouldn't interrupt me.
Yeah. Right.
And after I did it, and they said cut and everything, nobody said anything.
Oh.
It was like dead quiet, and so they said, "Okay, we're going to set up for the next angle." So I sat down and just was kind of embarrassed. Nobody said anything. And then second take, I said to Judd, do you want me to sing the song again? And he said, yeah, go ahead, sing the song.
Oh.
And then at the preview, there was a screening of The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and he came up to me and said, I'm going to be your favorite director ever, because he said, I put some Guatemalan love song in this movie. He said, it was funnier than I thought it was.
See, it's got to be wild, because from that, you have people who are all expert at what they do.
Yeah.
And sometimes I you know, as much as you probably enjoy that relationship, you're also going out on the wire every time because you got some of the best, you know, comedic minds looking at you.
Exactly. But you know what's great about it is it's all play, and it doesn't work unless you support each other.
Right.
And so you're going into a scene with Paul Rudd, and I'm nervous because it's Paul Rudd, but you know, it's to our advantage to make each other look good, and it's all about supporting each other. So you kind of are immediately on an equal playing field.
Well, in a mighty wind, when you reveal casually your porn star past, it's great. Who's the actor?
John Michael Higgins. He's a genius.
Yeah, he's great.
He is amazing.
He's amazing on so many levels. You don't even know. But he, as an actor and a musician, he's an amazing man.
I first saw him playing Letterman in the Late Shift, right?
He's a genius.
He played Letterman.
He played Letterman against
Daniel Roebuck.
Daniel Roebuck's Leno.
I didn't know that.
Many
was
years
him.
Ago, he was very young at the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. And when we did the For the preparation for A Mighty Wind, we rehearsed the music for about a month, and then we showed up. Shooting the movie was almost an anticlimax. It was not as fun as rehearsing.
Right.
And so anyway, Michael is amazing, and when we have those dialogues with each other, it was the first time each of us had heard what the other.
That's great. That's awesome.
And by the way, Jane, speaking of A Mighty Wind, you do the singing. That's all. That's you guys.
Yeah, that's
doing
us.
It all. Right.
Had you done any singing?
Always like to sing, and I was with Second City, and we always did songs. But
Second City's a good pedigree.
Not bad. That was good. I toured with them, and in fact I toured to Philadelphia. We came here in 1988. Wow.
You're with the Steppenwolf Theater Company, right?
That's I'm not in the ensemble, but I did five or six shows there when I was in Chicago.
That's Gary Sinise.
He's the best. Yeah, what a good actor.
Does he do comedy?
Sure, because he's a great actor. He can do anything.
Lieutenant Dan was funny as hell.
He was really good.
That was the funniest amputee I ever
heard. Yeah.
The funniest tragic Vietnam amputee I've ever heard.
By the way, I have a little bit from A Mighty Wind of Jane singing, and this is what she suggested that we
play. Cool.
I love this. Here we go.
Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Guess we better leave her there. Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Mama said it's more than fair. Let's go, boys, potatoes.
Is this from the movie?
Yeah. This is Mighty Wind.
Wait till they get to it.
That's part of it. There's a part where she's got a little solo in there that's what I wanted, but we didn't get that.
Better that we don't have that.
I imagine that, and often when we do interviews, actors and actresses talk about that they have a difficult time watching their own work. Are you able to watch the Christopher Guest movies because the ensemble, because all of the other character actors are so funny and so talented and not really pay attention to yourself?
I have no problem watching Christopher Guest films because I completely forget what we did.
Yeah.
And so it's all new to me when I see it. You know, so I'm like, oh, that's an interesting scene. I don't remember doing it because we shot so much.
You can be detached and watch it. You were in a Talladega Nights as well with Will Ferrell. I assume he operates fairly similarly.
Yeah,
to,
same thing. It was the same producers and everything, same kind of loose
and Walk
script.
Hard.
And Walk Hard was the same thing.
Yeah.
I was wondering about Talladega Nights. Were you, because they had you cast as his mother, as Will Ferrell's mother. I'm like, she's too young to be his mom.
But we had, both Gary Cole and I had to go from like 19 to 60. So they kind of shot for someone in the middle there.
Gary Cole's another one who can
pull that off. He's over the top. He's so good.
His Mr. Brady is amazing. And you toured as
Mrs.
Carol Brady.
Brady.
That's
it was a funny coming together with him because he had been Mr. Brady and I was Mrs. Brady on stage.
Did you guys break off into any of that
fun?
You did? Man. All right. Well, you're in town because of the Philadelphia International Gay and Lesbian Film Festival is going on, and you're being presented with the 2008 Artistic Achievement Award for acting.
I'm thrilled.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we were curious because I didn't know anything about your personal life, if you were gay or not, but you are.
I am indeed.
And have you received awards like
for
this
being
before?
Gay?
Yeah.
Do they have those?
Close?
Yeah. This is my second award for being gay.
I can't presented tell you by how Jim J.
glad
Bullock.
I am I came out.
All that space on your shelf is was available.
No, I'm really honored. I mean, this is a great festival. This is like one of the biggest in the world.
It is one of the best, is it
yeah,
not?
Yeah, and the best yeah. in the world. And it's like the 14th year. So this is a terrific honor for me. And I'm really thrilled to be here and very grateful.
It's awesome how out they are about it, too, because on their website, which is phillyfests.com, and we'll put up a link up on our site, it just says the gayest summer in the city.
Yeah. You know,
they're just not trying to hide anything yeah. at that point.
It's good. It's good. It's a great festival, and I'm so glad to be here. So, started last night, I guess, yeah.
Now okay. would you get the actual award? What does the award look like?
I don't know. I can't wait to see it. It's Saturday night, they will be handing it to me. I was in a film called True Loved, and I'm in it for just a nanosecond, but it's in the festival this year, and it's about a young girl who has two moms who goes to school in kind of a conservative community, and just through her, the openness of her heart and the charm of her personality, she kind of converts people to think, you know, it's just another kind of family.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So, what do you have coming up besides that? I mean, other projects?
Yeah,
tell me there's another Christopher Guest, hopefully,
on
the way.
No, not that. You know, I don't know. The last time I saw him, he said he was done.
So really? Well, then you pick up the torch because you're damn good at it.
Oh, thank you.
Any desire to do directing and then things of that nature?
I would love to direct. And I'd like to direct in the way that Judd Apatow and Chris direct, where you kind of just get really good people who are a lot of fun to be around and just throw them out there and say, make me laugh.
right, yeah. And the budget is always very small.
It is, you can make these movies on the cheap, that's for sure.
Wow. And what do you have? What's in the works right now?
I did a movie with Rainn Wilson called The Rocker.
He's coming in.
Is he coming in?
Yeah, Wednesday.
He's so good in this movie. He's going to be a big movie star. This is his Steve Carell turn. He's really good. It's called The Rocker. And that's in August 1st. And then I did a movie called Another Cinderella Story. It's Another Cinderella Story with Selena Gomez. And I play the wicked stepmother. So I was really thrilled to do that.
Cool.
That was a lot of fun.
And do you still live in Chicago?
My family is still there. And I go there all the time. I have a house in Chicago. I love Chicago.
But mainly Los Angeles?
Mainly Los Angeles, yes. I live in Los Angeles with my two dogs and my two cats.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you pick up the dogs after doing Best in Show?
I did, yes. Yeah, I went right to a pet store, and I know that's terrible. You shouldn't go to a pet store, but it got me a little Lhasa Apso that I'm just in love with.
Are you
going to Wheaton Terrier.
Indeed start a magazine for lesbian dogs?
Yes, American Bitch. Can I say that?
American Bitch, yeah.
Yeah, but that was a great invention, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's Chris Guest. That's him. That's Chris and Eugene. They write the stories. They come up with that stuff.
As we're talking about these movies, I just keep thinking of scenes from the movie. Michael, the one guy in the beginning of the movie, when they're at the a butcher shop, and he just wants to hold the pepperoni sticks.
Just let me hold it.
Just can I hold it for a little while?
Yes. And he brings eight kimonos for 48 hours.
I love
and they
that.
Decorate the hotel room. He puts up, you know, a piece of fabric.
Well, they're watching you and your co-star Jennifer
Coolidge
celebrate, and it's like, oh, she has two mommies.
Yeah, Rhapsody has two mommies. Yeah. And paging Bob Mackie.
I was surprised to find out how just a minuscule amount of info they will give you to go on for some of those scenes, because I think we were talking to Eugene Levy, and there's a scene where he and Cookie in the movie.
Catherine O'Hara.
Who's also one of the absolute
amazing
best.
And
I was told in the scene where they first arrived at the hotel, the only direction they were giving is, they arrive and they have trouble with their credit card.
Right.
Uh-huh. And that's it. And then they have to go
on. Ed Begley Jr. played the
manager.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And she's going, no, that's the good one. That's the good one.
Right.
Like, the rest of the cards are terrible and over.
That's the good card.
I paid the bill. Don't they give you two notices?
But now, at this point, we have had three stars from Best in Show in our studio.
Yeah.
Jane, Eugene, and Fred Willard have all been in our studio.
Fred Willard is a scream.
Yeah, he is. He has encyclopedic reference level. He has the most obscure information running around in his head. He's a very entertaining guy.
And let's add that. And I even commend you even further for being able to be on a set with all of these people. And I'm sure you have the same effect with the others, and not laugh during the exchange where you're revealing
your
porn
past. You don't want to. You don't. Yeah, you don't. You want to blow anybody's stuff.
Right.
So yeah, you're scared into not
Jesus.
Laughing.
Well, before we let go, Jane, go. I got to play this clip one more time.
You know, Andy, I've been thinking about your problem. I think I might have a solution for you.
Hmm.
You ever heard of the term buddy?
It's what?
It's a special friend. We.
No, I haven't heard that term.
And you know what I love about that? And as Casey had mentioned before, and facial expressions are almost everything. Yeah. But the way, when you say the F word, the way you tuck your, you overdo the F.
It's just
like, you tuck your teeth over your bottom lip. Oh, that's great.
I love Steve's response. Swa? I think he spelled that S-W-A-A-H. Swa?
Swa?
Well, I wouldn't want to think of that.
I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Jane, keep doing what you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're
you guys
amazing.
Are great.
We're
thank
so
you.
Glad you came here this morning. Oh. It's Jane Lynch,
yeah!
everyone.
Yeah! Thank you so much. This is so kind.
Have a good time at the film festival this weekend.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yes,
absolutely. Thank you so much.
We're
going to
take
great.
A break. We will be back in just a moment, so don't go anywhere.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
File is sponsored by vmcenter.org. Take care of those who took care of us. If you are a veteran or you know a veteran in need of supportive housing services, visit vmcenter.org for 24-hour help.
44-year-old resident in the town of Zelandolsk in the Republic of Tatarstan
sure.
blew up a grenade in his own apartment after his 31-year-old wife said that she was breaking up with him. The family
I'm
drama.
I'm just amazed he had a grenade at the ready.
Began to unfold. Well, it's in Tartson.
Tartson, oh, yeah. Grenade capital of the world.
It happened around 8 o'clock. The woman decided to leave her husband. She came home to pack her things. She arrived along with a friend of hers, as well as her husband's relative, together with her daughter and granddaughter.
Well, time to break out grenade.
The relatives were sitting in the kitchen when the spouses began to sort out their relationship in the living room. The man was drunk during the fight. When arguing, he pulled out an F1 grenade from a drawer and unpinned it. The man's wife suffered fragment wounds as a result of the explosion. She was hospitalized in an emergency care unit. And
she never came across the grenade in the drawer?
And the emotional man did not suffer any injuries. His relatives wow. in the kitchen, including the children, were unharmed as well. So nobody killed in the grenade incident, which is pretty wild.
You know how couples get with the grenades.
Yeah, you know. If you think you've got problems because your toddler won't eat anything, you should talk to Lisa Tesserio of Sydney. Her 19-month-old son, Alex, won't eat anything and never has.
How is this possible?
The little boy is fed through a tube in his stomach.
Oh,
see,
okay.
Her son was born prematurely, and he had an oxygen tube covering his face for a year, and as a result has developed a psychological aversion to touch in his mouth area and refuses food.
Wow.
He associates it with a negative
sensation.
Man,
oh my God.
The problem is so unusual that Tesserio says it's hard to find support. While perceived as a behavioral response, the aversion may actually stem in part from subtle gastrointestinal and sensory motor deficiencies as well.
So not even like a straw with some... Like nothing.
Like any sensation in the mouth.
Wow.
Is deemed bad by this child. That's sad. A Western Sydney manufacturing company and its director have been fined more than $125,000 after a worker was killed while cleaning a high-powered blender.
Oh, no.
That ain't
no.
good. FIP Breaks International and its managing directors were hit with the fine following the death of the employee.
The guy didn't know what he was doing. He was all mixed up. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Work Cover took action against the company, which produces industrial-sized brake pads, successfully arguing that the company had a significant number of safety failures.
Tommy just sold a 500,000 brake pads!
Yeah! If it found the...
Now let's blend them.
It found the power to the giant blender was still switched on with the machine becoming operational while Jesus. The worker was inside it. He suffered extensive crush injuries and
What'd
lacerations.
You do?
Yeah. Totally messed
I'm amazed
up.
He didn't die.
He did die.
Oh, there you go.
No. Oh, I killed it!
Okay.
He's a lovable lug. The way he blends coworkers.
James Kiernan was 6 credits away from earning a degree at the University of Albany. Then he decided to play bagpipes and jump on cars during an infamous Kegs and Eggs melee in Pine Hills on March 12th. So now Kieran will spend the next year not at Albany, University of Albany, for which he was expelled, but will be performing 250 hours of community service in Queens, where he lives. He also has to pay about $1,000 in restitution.
So he lost his degree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kieran declined comment as he exited the court. He was far less shy during the melee when he donned a kilt and played bagpipes, which authorities said helped fire up a rowdy crowd of revelers, while a group of house parties developed into a near riot the day of the city St. Patrick's Day parade.
Hey, was he drinking by any chance?
He was drinking. Huh. But, I mean, they got this guy with a stiff fine because he was playing bagpipes. No other reason.
That's it.
He was captured on video, later widely circulated on the internet, playing the bagpipes at the circus-like chaos. He was among defendants charged with everything from rioting to assaulting a police officer. Kiernan, who jumped on the roofs of cars, was one of the first people arrested after police broke up the free-for-all. Yeah. And finally, we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. A radio station run by Somalia's Al-Shabaab Islamist group has awarded weapons.
This is Al-Shabaab in the morning. How are you?
Well, he awarded weapons to children who won a Quran reciting and general knowledge contest.
Hey, why don't we give that stuff away?
Angelus Radio, based near Mogadishu, gave the group, which won first prize in the Ramadan competition, an AK-47 rifle.
Wow.
And the equivalent of $700. And the children
were... All you have to do is identify the three songs we're going to play.
These kids were aged 10 to 17 that won, by the way.
Nice.
So they get an AK-47.
Starting them out right.
The second prize winners received an AK-47 and $500, while the third prize was two hand grenades and $400.
And a visit to Dr. Bruce Kettner.
Come on, Bill. Come on. Let's give away some guns and grenades.
Yeah, what'd be the problem with that?
A crossbow.
We'll follow suit. We'll give it to the young kids.
Yep. Al-Shabaab is linked to
Al-Shabaab with you.
Al-Qaeda. I'm Al-Shabaab.
I'm Al-Shabaab with the morning. Hey, don't forget our great gun giveaway still going on. So make sure the kids buy the radio later on. We're going to play the latest from Allah Be Praised.
If you have Al-Shabaab and Al-Qaeda, wouldn't it be Shabaab and Qaeda in the morning?
Yeah.
I think
Shabaab
so.
And Qaeda in the morning. Hey, all right. Hey, Qaeda, what are you doing? I feel so good today. I had a long night last night. Of course, it's bound to Mecca, and I broke my kneecaps. Hey, crazy you are. All right, don't forget our great big gun giveaway going on. Call in now.
Four children aged 10 to 17 were chosen to represent each district in the competition held during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which ended in August. And the winners were also given some books and the BBC.
Don't forget on Saturday night, it's a Rama dance party going on.
Rama Lama Ding Dong.
Rama Lama Ding Dong. It's going to be great. We'll be giving away pistols on that one. We'll run out of our rifles by the time that rolls around. But don't worry about it. Landmines on Monday.
The BBC's Mohammed Molimu in Mogadishu.
Come on. What is this like? Mohammed, the rain in Spain?
Mohammed Molilu.
Don't forget Mamustu, Gustu, and Bostu. We'll have some other words to end with in a little bit.
I have my Mogadishu.
They played that contest that right, Casey wanted to play.
So it comes from the States, from one of the great Satans over there, producer in Philadelphia. It's words that end in O.
Goo.
We actually did a contest. We did 5 and 10 one time where Casey's category was name 5 words that end in goo.
No, it was 5 words that begin with goo.
Oh, okay. 5 words.
So if you're going to make fun of me, please get it
5
right.
5 words that begin
with
goo.
We have a correction on our contest for those timelines. The words should begin with goo and not end with goo. What do you think about that, Kaida?
In all the years since then, have you ever...
I got 2.
You have 2? Yeah.
I got Google and Goober. Goonie. I got 3 now.
That's a proper name, though.
Goonie.
Goonies.
Or Goon.
Goon. I got 4 now.
There you go.
And Goonies.
You could have won your own contest.
What about Goop? Did you say Gooper?
No, I didn't. You win.
Goose.
Nice. Ghoul.
I thought it was end in goo. I may be way off.
That'd be a hard one.
That is your bizarre file, by the way. We do need to break. We'll be right back.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear.
Rock, 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 MMR Rock Shop.
here at the online store. Rock Prog, FMR Rock Shop. Tees and tops and a whole lot more. Rock Prog, FMR Rock Shop. Hoodies and hats for dudes and chicks. Mugs and masks that make great gifts. Rock, FMR Rock Shop.
Get your hands on some awesome merch at MMR's Rock Shop.
Rock, FMR Rock Shop.
Get shopping at WMMR.com now.
Rock, FMR Rock Shop.
All the merch that rocks.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, it looks as if Alicia Keys and her new husband, Swizz Beatz, are going through a rough patch now that Swizz has been accused of exchanging salacious text and nude photos with a lady named Christina Elizabeth. Swizz Beatz is reportedly sorting things out by spending some time with family in Switzerland, his uncle Swizz Cheese, and his aunt Swizz Miss with mini marshmallows. As staggeringly unnecessary and bizarre as this might seem, director Tony Scott is helming a 3D conversion of his 80s hit movie Top Gun.
What?
The ad for the new movie will include the phrase, "This time that highway to the danger zone will make you both nauseous and disoriented."
Wow.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And finally, Scarlett Johansson recently finished recording a duet with Dean Martin's voice for a new version of the classic holiday song I'll Be Home for Christmas. Ever the perfectionist, Johansson will actually have Dino's body exhumed for the recording of the video and will pay a doctor to gingerly move his skeletal jaw up and down.
That's your Hollywood trash.
Casey posed an interesting question last night. You know, we try to call each other to see, you know, how the rest of your day went, see if there's anything that happened in the news.
Did he pop the question?
He didn't pop the question. Well, he popped an interesting question, and I'm curious as to find out where this came from, because he came out of nowhere, and we're just having a conversation, and he goes, "What are your thoughts on man-on-man massage?" And I don't know why. I have no idea where that came from. Is there any particular reason you brought that up?
Well, actually, intern Joe, went to Shaving Grace yesterday to get a massage, and I was just kind of busting his balls a little bit. I said, "You know, that's a man salon." I'm like, "You're going to get a man-on-man massage." And
Joe, I love you.
Which is untrue. They actually have some really young, good-looking ladies there massaging. And so I was just kind of busting Joe's chops without even realizing that I actually had a man-on-man massage myself. And I wasn't a big fan of it.
Did you have a full Swedish massage?
It was on my honeymoon. My wife and I did the couples massage, and we were in the same room together.
Did you do that thing where they turn you over and they put their balls on your eyes?
Well, that you have to pay extra for. Oh, okay. So, no.
Instead of cucumber slices.
Right.
But when it came down to massage
they
time,
do sometimes put tea bags on your
yes,
eyes.
They do.
I'm not kidding you.
Do,
yeah. They really do.
But when it came down to massage time, they had a girl and a guy in the room. The girl massaged my wife and the guy massaged me, and I just couldn't get into it.
You just couldn't enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm not homophobic by any stretch. I have
in fact, you love the lifestyle.
I have gay friends, coworkers, family members, and no issue with that whatsoever. No, yeah. But the man-on-man massage thing, I'm not really so sure of. And I have to admit, I actually saw a little man-on-man massage going on in our offices.
I am dying to find out who the hell this
Take
is.
Take a wild guess.
Yeah.
It was Nick. just the other day,
I
came walking by the cubicle.
He
and Casey share. I'm wondering if you knew this was going to come up right when I brought this subject
up.
Well,
you're going to be really surprised when I say this, but I actually prefer a man to give me a massage.
All right, well, I came walking by the cube.
Who was it?
And I see Nick sitting in his chair.
Oh, and?
Reese was rubbing his back.
Hey, dude, Reese is good, though.
Has Reese done a man massage on
but
you?
But that's not as intimate as a, you know, table massage. It's just a guy come up and rub
I think it's
neck.
More intimate than a table massage.
I think it's worse than a table massage. Those are professionals. This is just somebody walking up behind you, giving you a massage. When I used to work over at Channel 10, there was a guy who worked there. And he would massage people all the time. I think he just had, like, strong hands. I don't know. He wasn't a professional or anything like that. And he would do, like, all the girls would be like, "Oh, can you massage me today? You know, my neck hurts, my back hurts, whatever."
Right.
Well, then some of the photographers would do it as well because they carry all that heavy equipment around.
80-pound cameras.
Yeah, you know, so they're like, you know, this hurts, whatever. But some of the guys were like, "I can't believe so-and-so would go and get a massage from him." Like, why would you do that? That's a man. Not only is it a man, it's a man you work with, and you're going to go over to him while he's working and ask him to massage you?
Yeah.
And they would sit in the chairs, and he would massage anybody who came over to him.
I'm actually going to Shaving Grace tomorrow, and Casey's right. right. They only have women giving massages. And I'm actually, I would prefer it if they had men to do it. And I'll tell you why. It's because men are gentler.
Let's go, right. girls.
What? Wait a minute.
No, no, no.
I think men are more firmer.
Men are stronger. The best massage I ever had in my life was by this
J.J. Bullock.
Yeah. You know, I never knew that guy was gay when I was. I swear to God,
it's such a tip off. You watch E.
When I watched Hollywood Squares and when I was a kid, I had no idea.
Are you kidding?
Well, you know, I was in like sixth grade or whatever. And then later I figured out and then I had some feelings. So there's a guy named Nick, oddly enough, who works in Center City. I'm just setting myself up.
But
he's a reflexologist.
Keep shoveling.
It was an hour and a half long massage, and stop it. And he did such a good job on me that I walked out and I was actually a little bit high. It was one of those experiences.
Really?
Yeah. That he
did he give you a roofie?
No.
Well, I know what you mean because that's what I prefer in a massage. If it's too soft, it's not. I don't like it. It's not enjoyable. But sometimes for me as a woman, I have to go to a woman to get because the men feel like they're hurting you.
And I would. I don't know if you would like Reese giving you a massage because he works you really hard.
No,
Has Reese trained to be a
at all, or is it just?
I don't know.
Is he just? But
he's riffing. He's really good.
I prefer when getting the massage. I like the lighter, more. They call it sensual touch.
Yeah.
The more you know, lightly like tickling and stroking, and exactly that. And ain't no way that Chuck is going to be doing that.
I completely understand what you're saying, and I'm on board with you, Preston. There's no fear or compromising one's sexuality. I have trouble in general getting someone, even when a woman massages me, which is is wonderful. Like when my wife will do that, that's awesome.
Right.
But I always feel like I am so sorry that you're you right now having to touch me. Well, you know what I'm saying? It just makes me uncomfortable because then I do the thing you're not supposed to do. I talk to them.
Yeah.
I feel bad because now you're it's like my subservient person here rubbing my back.
But it's what they do for a living.
I know,
Steve.
But
they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't like it.
You're absolutely right, but I can't shake it.
Here's why I couldn't have a guy rub me is because when you're getting a massage, you're supposed to make a noise like this.
Yeah.
God.
Are you?
If it feels good.
are you enjoying that, homo? Stop with the sounds.
So think about it. When we've had our friend Barb come by and put you in the chair, every one of us has sat there and gone, oh.
Yes. But Barbara has a strong grit.
I'm almost there.
Stop this. The sounds.
But here's, I can have a guy come up and give me like the Reese neck massage. And we had.
I thought you were going to say reach around.
Never ever say that on air.
It's $25 extra.
But an old intern of ours, Todd Brad, was actually better than Reese, and I never asked for it. He would just come up and give you a rub.
So you wouldn't mind that?
I wouldn't mind that. But here's why I have a problem with the table massage is because when you're laying there, you're just usually in your boxer shorts or whatever.
Right.
And then they get your legs in there, right? There is a slight possibility that they might clip a nut.
If they're ET, they will.
No. They get down there, and I've never had my nut clipped. I'm just saying there is that potential.
Then you're saying there could be touchage.
I don't want any touchage.
No, they don't go that close.
They come pretty damn close.
I'm
gigantic down there.
I've had very limited experiences, but even when they do that, they don't get anywhere near the sacral region.
Well, I think they would. I mean, they do get pretty close, but I really don't think they would get that close.
Well, I kind of like hump my butt up a little bit.
I'm like a dog.
You put a daisy in there.
Yeah. When you pet the dog and they put their ass right there. Like,
that's what you do?
That's when you put the wax lips in.
Casey, I actually get a little more.
Just call me Carlotta.
I actually get a little more nervous when a woman comes closer to touching the nut area because than
should
than
be
a man.
Disappointed.
Yeah, no, because at that level it does seem sexual. When a man's doing it, it just seems like it's work, you know. And he's doing the massage, and therefore I don't have any qualms about it being at all sexual.
I think what Preston said though, that's you don't. It's just, and it's not anything
it's no judgments. It's just a bizarre thing to let, like you say, that sound. You'd be like, ugh.
Right, not for relaxation massage. But if you're getting like physical therapy work done, or you've pulled a muscle or something,
now I'm getting turned on
a muscle, and you've got a trainer that's working on you, I think that's fine. But when it comes to relaxing everything, letting it go.
Right, Diani's on the tape player.
Which they do. Right. They'll put that stuff on.
You got the incense burning, and Chuck is tissue massaging your sack.
I need a woman.
Well, all the athletes, you know, all the professional athletes, they get massages. Like the Sixers, they get them before the game.
That's like physical therapy.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, that's a man.
Yeah. You feel more comfortable with a man doing it? Or I think women are more, I would always prefer a woman to do it.
Well, for me, I don't care either way. I could go either way. I like the strong. Great. I can't wait to see what comes out of that one. I like the strong massage. And I have yet to find a place that will give me that like deep tissue, strong massage. I feel like people, you know, but with women, I find it a little bit more because they don't think they're hurting you, maybe.
Well, the thing that was strange is when I saw Reese rubbing Nick when I walked by, is Nick started softly singing.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight.
Good. And you had a recorder with you.
Yeah, I figured, why not? It was a special moment, and I wanted to be there for it.
My friends joined in.
Other people started gathering around the cubicle, and they joined in.
Everything's a little clearer in the light.
You guys are good.
It's very special. Hang on, let me go.
Who's the bass?
I'm going to go to TJ. Hi, TJ. Good morning.
Gadzooks.
What's up, TJ?
Actually, me and a buddy of mine went to a place in Montgomeryville with all guys. That's all people there with massaging. We both got massaged, and I'll tell you what, man, we were walking funny afterwards. But
it's painful. So
you needed some lube.
It's painful.
We started moving towards like the lower back. We were like,
that's the danger.
You got to follow that asterisk down to the bottom of the menu there. What's that mean?
Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Mike?
I just wanted to say I knew a gentleman who. I had a massage from both a woman and a man at some point in his life, and he said, if you really want to get, you know, the stress out, a lot of times for a man, it's best to go to another man. What? He said when the girl was doing it, you know, it was almost she had to jump up and down on his back sometimes to get the stress out.
That's why, and this is no joke, that there's some, like, they'll...
Women will walk
on your back.
Oh, like Asian massages.
Yeah, the Asian massages will do that.
And if it's a hot girl, forget about it. I mean, she's just not going to have the strength to actually... I really like getting worked over in my massage. I like walking out of there feeling like that I've gotten a workout.
You've been manhandled.
That I've been manhandled and man-loved.
You want to be Jake Gyllenhaal to the masseuse's Heath Ledger.
Yes.
I'm going to go to John. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, John. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm a masseuse. I'm the type that goes, call me up. I'll take my table over there and, you know, in the offices and stuff like that. In fact, I would love to give you, Preston, a massage.
No.
Would you try it, Preston?
No, I'm afraid you might be a little sexually excited.
What if you got a guy and a girl in here and see if you can tell the difference?
No, it wouldn't. I probably couldn't, and that's not it. It's the mental block of being able to relax completely for a relaxing massage. Yeah. You know,
I've had some customers that some male customers that, you know, they didn't like the male thing, and they did in the end had gotten sexually excited, but
John, will you accommodate a client by cross dressing if you have to?
Yeah, I don't give out happy endings.
All right.
Well, here's the deal. I don't need deep tissue massage. I don't really like it.
Want soothing.
I want soothing, relaxing, more sensual touch type massage. And I've done like the hot rock thing and stuff like that. I enjoy that. That's cool. But
have
I don't
you done
like,
the fruit basket.
No, I did not.
It's very good.
I didn't try that. No, I don't like the. I don't need
Roman helmet.
I don't need a guy to do the. I don't need somebody super strong to do it.
Right.
So.
You want? I agree. I you would say you prefer the what I would call the tickle massage more than the the soft touch than the. I mean, because Barb, you're mentioning Kathy. She's very strong. You know,
I have to tell her to hold up. A little bit. Yeah.
All right. Let me go to Jesse. Hey, Jesse. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you.
What's up, Jess?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I used to lift weights pretty good, and I'd go to a masseuse before I went to the chiropractor, and I've had a man and a woman do it, and the chicks just can't you know, they're not strong enough to really massage you to get you loosened up at all.
That's understandable. I mean, if you look at the trainers at any of the, you talk about the Eagles and all that stuff, it's usually a guy who's doing the physical therapy, the massage. It's, you know, it's a different animal, though.
Well, you're talking about people that are really muscularly built, and they, like need that. Like Nick. Yeah. Exactly.
it's hard to work your way into all that stuff.
By the way, did you ask Reese for that rubdown, or did he just come by and offer it up?
That's where it gets a little gay, because he just comes up and offers them up. By the way, jury's out on Reese. Is he?
I'm not sure, dude.
Reese is all man. He just likes to touch people's balls.
Well, I don't know about that, because he likes touching his own balls and showing them all. I'm serious, man. He'll go up to, like, any dude, and he'll pull down his fly.
Wait, and he actually shows it?
He jokes around to the point where
he pantomimes showing. He'll unzip his zipper.
He used to be a street performer. He was called Sacky.
I've never seen Reese do this.
Well, that's because you're a girl.
And I've never gotten a massage from him either. I need to.
Because you're a girl. Just make sure he washes his hands before he does it.
But, I mean, Kathy, I'd like to see what your opinion on Reese's massages are. Because he'll work you over, and it might be too hard for you. It might be like the NBC 10 guy, but I like it.
No. I'm telling you, that's what I like. I like that much
better. She does like it. I was giving her neck was bothering her one time.
I've had people fist bump me.
And she wanted me to give her a little rub, and I'm kind of doing it. And I was doing it, like, light.
Yeah.
I didn't, and I was like, "Do you want this song?" You're like, "Oh yeah.
Harder, Preston. Yeah.
Wait, everyone quiet. Could you say that
again? Come on back, Daddy.
Kathy does like getting the rub down because she really hates everything about me.
But if I
come up and rub her back or give her a little massage, she gets into it. And I'm like, hey, she likes me.
She likes what she says about your, she likes when you kiss the peach fuzz at the top of her butt. She says she likes that.
It's very soft.
I'm going to go to Eric. Hey, Eric, good morning. It was the peach fuzz that drew him.
I would imagine.
I'm going to go to Jeff next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up? You guys rock.
Yeah. What's going on, Jeff?
What's up? I got a great story about the man-on-man massage for you guys.
Yeah?
But back when I was in law school, they would give out free massages during finals time, and they would hire, like, kids that were at the Philadelphia Massage School to come in.
Yeah.
So they had those little blue chairs, and they had them in the student center, and they had about four women and one guy. So I go up, and I put my name on to get massaged. And none of the massagers are doing anything. And as soon as I get there, the guy goes, oh, I got this one. And he jumps up. And I have to sit in the massage chair and be massaged by the man in the
school. Can I touch it?
As everyone in the school walks through to go to class.
I agree with you, Preston. It's just a level of, you know, you... I just feel more comfortable, you know, the same way I feel more comfortable going to a male. It's weird going to a man as my doctor, you know. For comfortability level, it just seems to be the case.
I wonder what the masseuse prefers, the male masseuse.
Like if they don't mind doing men all the time. Like,
oh, which is odd about the doctor thing.
It is, isn't it?
Because he will actually touch your
body. Yeah,
yeah.
But you want him looking for everything.
I don't think the masseuse minds at all, Casey. I think that they're at the point where it's their job, you know? And again, this is, you're not going to an Asian massage parlor in Center City. You're going to somebody...
I just don't want to be another notch on their chair, though.
Well,
I want it to mean something to them.
Well, then bring them flowers and give them a big wet kiss afterwards. But I think that you guys are silly for making it, worrying about it at all.
No, I'm not worried.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Casey, uncomfortable about it.
Well, Casey posed the question, and I said, not for me. If you want to do it, knock yourself out. But me, personally, I can't relax all the way.
I think that's
it's not a problem with it. I mean,
I know. I just
but
think
I've
that
gotten it, the man-on-man massage.
Nick is saying it's poopy talk.
Yeah. It's poopy talk.
it's like preferring, like Steve said, a male doctor over a female doctor. Yeah. I would prefer a male doctor over a female doctor. It's not a gender, you know, discrimination thing or anything along those lines. It's just what I'm comfortable with.
And I prefer having sex with women, Nick, men. And that's cool.
You know, it's cool.
That's right.
I have not seen Reese's balls, by the way.
No,
me neither.
I'm sure it'll happen.
I'd like to keep it that way, if it's possible.
Well, it's just a matter of time, because you'll see him in the hallway one of these days, and he'll pull the fly down for you.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Anyhow, it was a question that Casey had posed. I thought it was worth bringing up.
It's one worthy of examining.
Yes. We've got to take a break. Stay where you are. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.